Hi, this is Linda Bott, and let me tell you about our North State Now show on Thursday nights right here on KCN. First Thursday of the month will be yours truly, covering arts and all kinds of fun stuff. The second Thursday, Bill Slade, highlighting and interviewing North State. Third Thursday is James Masada and Rhonda asking you all things with Enjoy the Magazine and Enjoy the Store. Fourth Thursday from Medical Center is Dr. Orna Gill covering women's health. The title sponsor for North State Now is the Reading Civic Auditorium, also brought to you by the Black Bear Diner, Shasta Regional, and Carlene's Restaurant and Bar at 1100 Center Street. That's now right here on 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, 6 p.m. North State Now.
Hey, and welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. I've got a lot to get to today. The big breaking news of the day is that President Trump's special envoy to Ukraine testified in front of Congress, and a bunch of text messages came out, and there is some real stuff in there. Kurt Volker, who's the former ambassador, a former special representative for Ukraine negotiations, and he was communicating with other officials in the Trump administration, including one guy named Bill Taylor, who is the charge d'affaires at the U.S. Embassy in Ukraine, and Gordon Sondland, the U.S. ambassador to the European Union, Andrei Yermak, who's an aide to Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky, and the president's agent, Rudy Giuliani, among others, is according to the Democrats. Volker was one of the people who's mentioned in the original whistleblower story. And Volker was one of the key players in trying to suss out what exactly was happening in Ukraine with regard to corruption. Well, yesterday, Volker went to the Hill to testify, and he testified at length, and he also provided a bevy of texts between himself and the other mentioned characters just now, people like Giuliani and Bill Taylor and Gordon Sondland. And these texts are not great for President Trump. They're not good for the Trump administration. Now, they do leave open one very large question, as we will see. And that question is whether the Trump administration was indeed conditioning aid and presidential meetings and warm relations with the new Ukrainian administration on getting Joe Biden, or whether they were doing so based on Ukraine demonstrating that it would fight corruption. If the latter, there's nothing wrong. If the latter, that's exactly what Joe Biden openly says that he did back in 2016. Right? Joe Biden, there's that famous audio and video of him talking about how he withheld $1 billion in Ukrainian loan aid because he was attempting to fight corruption in Ukraine. And in 2016, we also know that the Obama DOJ was meeting with members of the Ukrainian government and trying to get them to root out corruption. And we know that in 2018, three Democratic senators wrote letters to the Ukrainian government suggesting that their aid would be conditioned on whether they cooperated with the Mueller probe. So, in other words, conditioning aid on fighting corruption is not, in fact, a crime. Conditioning aid on going after your domestic political opponent, that looks like a quid pro quo that you're doing for personal benefit. Okay, so the Democrats have now issued a letter updating everyone on their findings and updating everybody on the content of the text with Kurt Volker. And here is what the letter says, because we always bring you information first, and then we break it down for you. So the letter is from the head of the House Committee on Foreign Affairs, Elliot Engel, Adam Schiff, who's the chairman of the House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence, and Elijah Cummings, who's the chairman of the House Committee on Oversight and Reform. Here's what the letter has to say. Quote, "Dear colleagues, we are writing to convey our grave concerns with the unprecedented actions of President Donald Trump and his administration with respect to the House of Representatives impeachment inquiry. The president and his aides are engaging in a campaign of misinformation and misdirection in an attempt to normalize the act of soliciting foreign powers to interfere in our elections." Well, as we will see, the question here is whether Trump and company were soliciting a foreign power to interfere in the American election, or whether they were soliciting a foreign power to fight corruption internally, and that has an impact on American elections because it turns out that American officials are involved in Ukraine. That's exactly what the Obama administration was claiming in 2016, that they were trying to root out corruption in Ukraine, and that would involve investigating people like Paul Manafort, who would go on to be the campaign chairman for President Trump. According to these three congresspeople, we've all now seen the summary of the call in which President Trump repeatedly urged the Ukrainian president to launch an investigation into former Vice President Joe Biden immediately after the Ukrainian president mentioned critical U.S. military assistance to counter Russian aggression. The president claims he did nothing wrong. Even more astonishing, he is now openly and publicly asking another foreign power, China, to launch its own sham investigation against the Bidens to further his own political aims. Well, a second, we're going to get to President Trump and his supposed request to China. He did, in fact, say that the Chinese should open an investigation into Biden, but there's no quid pro quo there. That's just Trump mouthing off, because one of the difficult things about President Trump is that he says so many things. I've been saying for years on end that on his epitaph will be written, President Trump, 45th President of the United States, he said a lot of crap. And the problem is that some of that crap borders on the vulgar and the obscene, to say the least, and is politically unwise, to be very mild about it. This China comment falls along those lines. It does not fall along the criminal lines, but we'll get to that in just a minute. More of this Democratic letter and these texts that the media are saying are incredibly damning, and they do raise questions. They do raise questions. I'm not going to pretend that the texts are completely by the book and innocent and non-troubling in any way. I'm going to give you the honest take on all of that in just one moment. First, let's talk about the holidays. I know. Crazy early to talk about the holidays, but if you are prepping that smile, you need to talk about the holidays right now and start thinking about clear aligners from Candid. I'm getting my photo-ready smile right now. Candid's aligners can help straighten your teeth faster than traditional wire braces. Treatment takes just 6 months on average. An experienced orthodontist who's licensed in your state creates a custom treatment plan. Then they show you a 3D preview so you can see how your teeth will look after you're done. Candid's aligners are comfortable, removable, completely invisible. Candid ships your aligners directly to you, so there's no hassle of going to an orthodontist's office. Candid costs 65% less than braces. I've already started using Candid. I actually did the early stages, and I took the molds of my teeth. They make it really easy. They offer you a step-by-step guide. Very simple. I'm going to have that photo-ready smile ready by the holidays, and you can too. Go to CandidCO.com/Ben. Use code Ben to get $75 off. That's CandidCO.com/Ben. Code Ben for $75 off. CandidCO.com/Ben. Use that code Ben. Cheaper than braces and better than braces. Go check them out right now. CandidCO.com/Ben. Use code Ben. Okay, so the Democrats continue this open letter. That's basically what it is. An open letter in which they inform the media and their supposed congressional colleagues, but it's about the media attention, about their investigation and their interview yesterday with Kurt Volker. Now, remember, Volker really only came to light because Rudy Giuliani, the world's worst lawyer. It's amazing. He took that title from Michael Cohen when Michael Cohen went to jail. President Trump does have an unerring instinct in choosing the world's worst lawyer. He went to Michael Cohen, and he's like, this guy will be great. And then he's like, you know, who can I replace the world's worst lawyer with? Ah, I know, Rudy Giuliani. That's gone great. And Rudy decided, you know, it'd be a smart idea. I will hold up my phone on camera and say that I have texts from the State Department. No way this will go wrong. In any case, this is why, folks, I sort of think that everything is more easily attributable to comedy of errors stupidity than it is to deep malign planning. And now, both could be true, could be a stupidly carried out scheme, but my general take on the Trump administration is that when things appear to have been planned nefariously, instead, they are usually just a reflection of incompetence and stupidity. Because, I mean, Rudy Giuliani, have you seen the man on TV? It's not great. In any case, the House Foreign Affairs Committee and the other Democrats, they put forward this letter. They say, the president claims he did nothing wrong. Even more astonishing, he is now openly and publicly calling for another foreign power, China, to launch its own sham investigation against the Bidens to further his own political aims. This is not normal or acceptable. It is unethical, unpatriotic, and wrong. American presidents should never press foreign powers to target their domestic political rivals. I mean, I generally agree with that, obviously. I don't think that you should be pressing the Chai Coms, the Chinese Communist Fascist government in Beijing, to be targeting domestic political rivals in the United States. Engaging in these stunning abuses in broad daylight does not absolve President Trump of his wrongdoings or his grave offenses against the Constitution. Now, again, something can be wrong and also not illegal. Also, it could be just Trump mouthing off, which is, I think, what most Americans take this for. Over the past week, say these Democrats, new reports have revealed that other Trump administration officials may also have been involved in the illicit effort to get Ukrainian help for the president's campaign. For example, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo has now admitted that he was on the call when President Trump explicitly pressed the Ukrainian president to investigate the Bidens, but failed to report this to the FBI or other law enforcement authorities. Well, yeah, because he didn't think that was a crime. He thought that was Trump mouthing off, because it probably was. But, say these Democrats, you will recall, FBI Director Christopher Wray urged individuals to report efforts to seek or receive help from a foreign power that may intervene in a U.S. presidential election. Well, as we'll see, it matters whether we are talking about a broader attempt to target corruption, which is going to be the Trump administration's case, or whether that broad attempt to target corruption was really just cover for getting a political opponent. This obligation, say the Democrats, is not diminished when the instigator of that foreign intervention is the President of the United States. It is all the more crucial to the security of our elections. Instead, when asked by the media about his knowledge of or participation in the call, Secretary Pompeo dissembled. Well, that's not true. He didn't lie about it. Likewise, we are investigating reports that Vice President Mike Pence may have been made aware of the contents of the call, and his absence from the Ukrainian president's inauguration may have been related to efforts to put additional pressure on Ukraine to deliver on the president's demands. Well, that raises the question as to what the president's demands were. If Trump said, Mike, don't go to that inauguration for the Ukrainian president until he pledges to investigate Joe Biden, that would be bad. If he said, we are involved in an anti-corruption effort in Ukraine, don't go, that's exactly what Barack Obama said to Joe Biden about holding back $1 billion in loan aid. This week, current and former State Department officials have begun cooperating with the impeachment inquiry by producing documents, scheduling interviews and depositions based on the first production of materials, and it became immediately apparent why Secretary Pompeo tried to block these officials from providing information. Now, there the idea is scanty, right? Because the fact is, within a week, Volker showed up, right? The other people who are asked to testify are going to testify within the next week and a half. But they have now released these text messages, and the Democrats say these text messages reflect serious concerns raised by a State Department official about the detrimental effects of withholding critical military assistance from Ukraine and the importance of setting up a meeting between President Trump and the Ukrainian president without further delay. He also directly expressed concerns that this critical military assistance and the meeting between the two presidents were being withheld in order to place additional pressure on Ukraine to deliver on the president's demand for Ukraine to launch politically motivated investigations. Earlier today, selected portions of these texts were leaked to the press out of context. In order to help correct the public record, we are now providing an attachment with more complete excerpts from the exchanges. My favorite is that they're not going to release the whole exchange, just more complete excerpts. How about, like, the whole exchange? Why won't anybody just do the whole exchange? And that's the stuff we ought to see, right? I mean, it's the Democrats who are out there saying we ought to see the full transcript of the Trump-Ukraine phone call. And by the way, if it exists, we should see a full transcript. Why the hell not? More information is better for the American public. Sunlight, fantastic disinfectant. But the texts that were originally released yesterday were a small portion, and the Democrats are now saying, well, we'll release this slightly larger portion, but not the whole thing. Why not the whole thing? Seems like that would be useful. The Democrats acknowledge that the additional excerpts we are providing are still only a subset of the full body of the materials, which we hope to make public after a review for personally identifiable information. Okay, good. Good. Our investigation will continue in the coming days, but we hope every member of the House will join us in condemning in the strongest terms the president's now open defiance of our core values as American citizens to guard against foreign interference in our democratic process. Now, as we'll see, the Trump administration case here is that they are trying to investigate foreign interference in our election process. That when President Trump is seeking to investigate what went on in Ukraine in 2016, that's because he actually is trying to stop foreign interference in our election process, and we need help from the current Ukrainian government in order to investigate that and come up with the information. And that is not a terrible argument, considering, again, that earlier this year, three Democratic senators sent a letter to the Ukrainian government, or last year, rather, they sent a letter to the Ukrainian government specifically saying, cooperate with the Mueller probe or we're going to withhold aid. So we're going to have to determine what exactly was the Trump administration threatening over. So before, the question was, were they threatening? And I had suggested, well, maybe they weren't threatening at all. Maybe Trump wasn't really threatening anything on the phone call, since the Ukrainians, apparently, according to BuzzFeed and the New York Times, did not actually know military aid was being withheld at the time of the phone call. Now it appears that it was pretty clear to the Ukrainians that at least a presidential visit was being withheld, or that perhaps there was some sort of warm relationship that was in the offing if they would do an investigation. So the question becomes, an investigation into what? Was this really about Joe Biden, and the cover for that was corruption talk? Or was this really just corruption talk, and part of the corruption talk was talk about Burisma, which is, in fact, a massive Ukrainian company run by oil oligarchs? We'll get to more of that in just 1 second. But first, let's talk about making your online experience safer. So I've had my online data exposed before. It is not pleasant. People have stolen my credit card number and then bought a bunch of stuff with it. And that's when I started using ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN is an app I use to stay secure online. Why should you care about encrypting your data? Well, it's often easy for a hacker to bypass Wi-Fi security and steal your information. They'll exploit flaws like crack. That's crack with a K in case you want to Google it. It's hard to know whether your device or network is vulnerable. If you ever use Wi-Fi at a hotel or a shopping mall, you're sending data over an open network, and that means no encryption at all, which is a very scary proposition. The best way to ensure all your data is encrypted and can't be read by hackers, use ExpressVPN. All you need to do is download the ExpressVPN app on your computer or smartphone. You tap one button, and you have now secured 100% of your network data, and then you can use the internet the way you normally would. ExpressVPN is incredibly reliable. It is the fastest VPN service I've tried. They're also rated the world's number one VPN provider by review sites like TechRadar and CNET. ExpressVPN takes privacy and security to the next level. Again, I use ExpressVPN because I care a lot about my online safety. If you want the best in online security and privacy, head on over to expressvpn.com/Ben. You get 3 extra months free with a 1-year package. Protect your internet today with the VPN I trust to keep my data safe. Go to expressvpn.com/Ben to get started. Coming up, we're going to get to all the text messages the Democrats have put out now between various Trump administration officials about Ukraine. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Does your water stain and damage your fixtures? Does it smell or taste bad? Are you worried about what's in your water? Water quality should not be painful and worrisome. Get HydroCare Water Systems from Wave Home Solutions with the most advanced purification technologies. Call Wave Home Solutions today at 1-888-973-WAVE or go to WaveCleanWater.com. HydroCare will eliminate lime scale that causes hundreds of dollars in damage to pipes and appliances. Without using salt, well water will no longer smell or stain your fixtures. City water will be purified of harmful chlorine, lead, arsenic, and chemicals. Wave Home Solutions provides the cleanest, healthiest water at every faucet. Satisfaction guaranteed. For more information, call 1-888-973-WAVE, 1-888-973-WAVE, or go to WaveCleanWater.com. That's WaveCleanWater.com.
Wave Home Solutions.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Joan London with A Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. It's a free service, and we've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad. There's a place for answers, A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-391-1755. That's 1-800-391-1755.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
If you can't seem to stay ahead of your bills, then this message is for you. How would you like to have a large portion of your credit card debt, medical bills, and department store debt forgiven? National Credit Card Relief would like to give you free information on a proven debt forgiveness program. This program has been used by thousands to legally forgive millions in unsecured debt. It's not bankruptcy. It's not consolidation. This special program actually wipes clean the portion of your debt that is forgiven from what you owe your creditors. Call for free information and get all your questions answered in the first free call. The more you owe, the more you can save. If you have at least $10,000 or more in credit card bills, this debt forgiveness program can be very effective. Call for free information and find out more now. 800-291-6670. There is no cost or obligation for the information. Don't wait. Call 800-291-6670. That's 800-291-6670. Get your debt problem solved. Call 800-291-6670 today. Not available in North Dakota.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So, the fact is that these text messages between a couple of different Trump administration officials, one is the special envoy to Ukraine, Kurt Volker, another one is a guy named Sondland, who is the ambassador to the EU, as well as a temporary ambassador to Ukraine named Bill Taylor. Right, those text messages are making the rounds. We're going through all of them. So, a week before the phone call, after the military aid has been suspended, but the Ukrainians don't know it, a week before the phone call with Trump and Zelensky, there was a text between Ambassador Volker, who, remember, is, again, the special envoy to Ukraine. There's this text between Volker and President Trump's agent, they call him President Trump's agent, is his lawyer, Rudy Giuliani, to thank him for breakfast and introduce him to Andrei Yermak, who's a top advisor to President Zelensky. Volker texted, "Mr. Mayor, really enjoyed breakfast this morning. As I discussed, connecting you here with Andrei Yermak, who is very close to President Zelensky. I suggest we schedule a call together on Monday, maybe 10 a.m. or 11 a.m. Washington time." Okay, well, getting Giuliani on the phone with Yermak doesn't necessarily mean that it's about Biden. It could also be about broader 2016 interference questions, because Giuliani was, in fact, in Ukraine investigating all of that stuff. Now, Giuliani may also have been there investigating a bunch of bad theories. Right? That is significantly plausible. The fact is the president tends to believe conspiracy theories, even if those conspiracy theories end up not really being true. So maybe he was there investigating a bunch of nonsense. But that does not obscure the generalized anti-corruption possibility, which is that he was there investigating corruption issues as well. Okay, so it's a little bit vague. Is it vague enough to let Trump off the hook? Not really, but we're going to find out how vague it is when we get all the rest of the text and when everybody testifies. Okay, so there's that text, right, that where Volker is putting together Yermak and Giuliani. Now, Volker also testified yesterday in front of the Democrats that he was telling Giuliani at the time that there was nothing to the Biden allegations. The Biden allegations were being completely overblown and that there really was not a lot of there, which suggests that he was helping out Giuliani because he wanted to help out Trump, but that he was not participating in any sort of quid pro quo with the Ukrainian government. In fact, Volker testified he was telling the Ukrainian government the opposite. Do not get into the business of interfering in domestic political arrangements in the United States. It's not going to redound to your benefit. Which means that what we may have here is another Mueller situation where Trump was informing people to do bad things and his own team was saying, no, we're not going to do that. That may very well be the case as well. We know that Volker was working with Giuliani and having Giuliani meet with Andrei Yermak, who is the aide to Zelensky. Is that about Biden or is that about the investigation into what happened in 2016? Because one of those things is of public interest. The other thing is based on rumor and hearsay and without a lot of evidence to support it. Now, the Trump campaign is going to make a bolder claim than I'm willing to make, and that is that the investigation into Biden is fully legitimate, meaning that they still suspect that Biden was engaged in serious corruption over there. Why is that not of public interest? Mike Pence basically said that yesterday. He suggested that the American people have a right to know if the vice president benefited from his position.
When you hold the second highest office in the land, it comes with unique responsibilities. Not just to be above impropriety, but to be above the appearance of impropriety. And clearly, in this case, there are legitimate questions that ought to be asked. And we're going to continue to ask them, since the American people have a right to know, whether or not the Vice President of the United States or his family profited from his position.
Okay, but the question is whether you withheld aid over that. Would it have been a sign of Ukrainian corruption if they didn't investigate the specific Biden angle? Now, it is true that today the Ukrainians apparently reopened a bunch of old investigations. And the media are reporting this as, okay, well, this is the other half of the quid pro quo coming through. But that's not really the case. According to the Associated Press, Ukraine's prosecutor general said on Friday that his office is reviewing all cases that were closed by his predecessors, including several related to the owner of a gas company where former VP Joe Biden's son sat on the board. Well, it seems to me that if they're reopening all the old investigations, and some of those investigations include Burisma, what's the big deal? I mean, there is a lot of corruption inside Ukraine. You know who used to say that? The Obama administration. You know who used to say that? Joe Biden. You know who used to say that? Barack Obama. So are we going to pretend that the corruption did not exist and that it's illegitimate to investigate? Now Burisma is clean as the driven snow is the idea here. Ruslan Ryaboshapka's comments came amid an impeachment inquiry against President Trump, according to the AP. Ryaboshapka told reporters in Kiev that prosecutors are auditing all cases that were closed or dismissed by former prosecutors, including several related to Mykola Zlochevsky, owner of the gas company Burisma that hired Hunter Biden in 2014, at the same time his dad was leading the Obama administration's diplomatic dealings with Kiev. Though the timing raised concerns among anti-corruption advocates, there's no evidence of wrongdoing by either the former VP or his son, according to the Associated Press. Ryaboshapka says, we are now reviewing all the cases that were closed or split into several parts or were investigated before in order to be able to rule to reverse those cases where illegal procedural steps were taken. When asked by a reporter if they are reviewing cases related to Burisma and Zlochevsky, the prosecutor said there are 15 cases where Zlochevsky and businessman Sergei Kurchenko are mentioned. He didn't specify how many were related to Hunter Biden's work at Burisma at all. Ryaboshapka was mentioned on that July 25th call between Trump and Ukrainian President Vladimir Zelensky, who assured Trump that Ryaboshapka was his man and that he would resume investigations into Burisma. Okay, coming up, we continue to go through these text messages and analyze them. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Learn more about our shows and hosts. Check us out online at kcnr1460.com. KCNR 1460.
a jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
KCNR is proud to announce that we are now live at 96.5 FM, as well as online, and as always, heard on 1460 AM. Weekday mornings, wake up with the Sue McClain News Hour, followed by Free Fire Radio, your talk radio station at the epicenter of change in downtown Reading. 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, the conscience of the nation. Noon to 3, find your financial peace with Dave Ramsey. 3 to 6, the hard-hitting constitutional expert, Mark Levin. Monday through Thursdays at 6 p.m., local shows feature everything from the paranormal to pop culture to unsung heroes of our area. 7 to 9, Ben Shapiro with an expanded program that brings the issues of the day to your radio. And finish your weekday with the Chris Plant Show, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. KCNR. Now on 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, and always online. More than ever, we're your locally owned, community-connected talk radio.
The Reading Rancheria Senior Nutrition Program provides socialization, transportation, and free meals to eligible Native American elders and their spouses. Our program celebrates Native elders through cultural activities, entertainment, exercise, and education. Elders can dine together here, and will deliver meals to those who are unable to attend. The Reading Rancheria Senior Nutrition Program is free. Discover the services available to you or your elders at readingrancheria.com.
If it wasn't for a kind community member like you, I could have died on the streets. My name is Ted Williams, the man with the golden voice, and I will be your keynote speaker at the Good News Rescue Mission's 11th Annual Harvest of Hope Fundraiser Banquet at the Reading Civic Auditorium on Saturday, October 5th at 6 p.m. Support transformation and purchase your Harvests of Hope table at gnrm.org. I'll see you there.
No one plans to visit the emergency room, but when life's accidents happen, you need to get treated, not seated. Shasta Regional Medical Center is located at 1100 Butte Street in downtown Reading. They have emergency room doctors and staff that guarantee you will be seen by a medical professional within 30 minutes of your arrival. Shasta Regional Medical Center believes in delivering patient-centered health care with compassion and respect for every patient and their family.
Hello, I'm Carlene Niver, and I would like to personally thank you for your support while we celebrate over 4 years of business at Carlene's Restaurant and Bar. I'm so proud and excited to see our growth with loyal and new guests alike. Those of you who know me know that I love great food, but more importantly, I love to enjoy myself wherever I go. And that's what my dining team and I strive for when you walk into Carlene's. As the weather transitions, don't forget to book our banquet room for any of your upcoming holiday needs. We also offer outside catering for any occasion. Open 7 days a week, 4 p.m. to 9 p.m., 10 p.m. Friday and Saturday. Happy hour from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m., located in downtown Reading on Center Street. A pinch of patience, a dash of kindness, and a spoonful of laughter make for the best dining experience. I look forward to celebrating over 4 years of business with you at Carlene's Restaurant and Bar.
Alan Gordon, Coach Master Collision. She had minor damage to her rear bumper. I wrote her an estimate. Later, I received a call. The lady responsible for the damage wanted to pay for the repairs out of pocket. Her insurance agent told her a claim would raise her rates for years. With our experience in the claim process, I explained to her most insurance companies would forgive a claim if the cost was below a minimum amount. I suggested she contact her insurance agent and have them review her policy. She called back very excited. It appeared her policy did extend forgiveness. They would pay for the repairs, and she wouldn't be charged with a claim or have to pay a deductible. The accident would not cost her a thing. She was very pleased. Good thing the vehicle owner came to the right place for repairs. We all pay a lot for insurance. Choosing Coachmaster will ensure you get the most for your money. Let this experience work for you. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutoBody.com.
While serving in Iraq, Sergeant Jason Nielsen suffered a paralyzing injury. Paralyzed Veterans of America's service officers are trained to help injured veterans get all the benefits they've earned. To help paralyzed veterans, visit pva.org.
Welcome back to the Ben Shapiro Show. So we are going through all of the text messages between the various Trump officials in Ukraine. Let's continue. So back to these texts. Okay, so on July 19th, 2019, Ambassador Volker, Ambassador Sondland, this would be the ambassador to the EU, and Bill Taylor, who is the acting ambassador to Ukraine, had the following exchange about the specific goal of that phone call that we've now all read the transcript to. Volker said, "Can we three do a call tomorrow, say noon Washington?" Sondland says, Gordon Sondland says, "Looks like presidential call tomorrow. I spoke directly to Zelensky and gave him a full briefing. He's got it." Sondland said, "Sure." Volker said, "Good. Had breakfast with Rudy this morning, teeing up a call with Yermak Monday. Must have helped. Most important is for Zelensky to say he will help investigation and address any specific personnel issues, if there are any." Okay, it is unclear which investigation he is talking about. Is he talking about the Biden investigation? Is he talking about the Burisma investigation? Is he talking about the generalized 2016 election interference investigation? Which one is he talking about? That makes a difference. If at the heart of this lies President Trump's desire to get Joe Biden and not root out corruption, he got an impeachable offense. If it turns out that at the heart of this was President Trump seeking to root out corruption, and as an aspect of that, he's saying you need to investigate Burisma, then it's not impeachable. And on July 21st, Ambassador Taylor flagged President Zelensky's desire. Notice that none of these texts actually mention Biden. Right? Not one of these texts mentions Biden. They all mention investigations. Most of them mention corruption. Not one mentions Biden. On July 21st, 2019, Ambassador Bill Taylor flagged Zelensky's desire for Ukraine not to be used by the Trump administration for its own domestic political purposes, according to Democrats. Taylor said, "Gordon, one thing Kurt and I talked about yesterday was Sasha Daniliuk's point that President Zelensky is sensitive about Ukraine being taken seriously, not merely as an instrument in Washington of domestic re-election politics." And Sondland said, "Absolutely. But we need to get the conversation started and the relationship built irrespective of the pretext. I'm worried about the alternative." Okay, so does that text message suggest that the Trump administration is withholding aid based on the Burisma stuff? Or does it sound like what Sondland and others in the administration are saying is tell Zelensky that he should just try to butter Trump up, basically, and that we will make the relationship warm based on anti-corruption efforts? And then we've got Giuliani advocating for the Trump-Zelensky call. Apparently, Yermak and Giuliani agreed to speak on the morning of July 22nd. Later that evening, Volker informed Sondland and Taylor that Giuliani was now advocating for a phone call between Trump and President Zelensky. Here is a text message exchange between Volker and Sondland talking about Trump and Zelensky. This is on July 22nd, just 3 days before the Trump-Zelensky phone call. Volker says, "Orchestrated a great phone call with Rudy and Yermak. They're going to get together when Rudy goes to Madrid in a couple of weeks. In the meantime, Rudy is now advocating for phone call. I've called into Fiona's replacement and will call Bolton if needed. But I can tell Bolton and you can tell Mick that Rudy agrees on a call if that helps." And someone says, "I talked to Tim Morrison, Fiona's replacement. He is pushing, but feel free as well." In other words, it looks as though they are trying to get Rudy Giuliani to sign off on Trump talking to Zelensky on the basis of Rudy is now convinced that the Ukrainian government is going to look into the 2016 election stuff, or, according to Democrats, Rudy is now convinced that Ukraine will act as a cat's paw in going after Joe Biden. And as it turns out, Paul Sperry, the reporter, he is reporting now that the whistleblower in this particular case was not only a registered Democrat, he was a CIA analyst who was detailed before the 2016 election to the Obama White House, where he worked on the NSC's Ukraine desk and met with anti-Trump Ukrainian officials before being sent packing by the Trump National Security Council and becoming disgruntled. This is Paul Sperry reporting. So he says, the Democrat whistleblower who complained about Trump digging up dirt in Ukraine was himself helping dig up dirt in Ukraine against Trump and Manafort while working in the Obama White House during the 2016 campaign. So I'm sure more will come out about that. So does it look like a political... Two things can be true at once. One, it can be politically motivated. Two, maybe there's a there. We're about to find out. But we are going to have to decide what exactly is impeachable precedent. Is the impeachable precedent here that Joe Biden's name got mentioned? Is the impeachable precedent that any attempt to link funding and corruption is wrong? Because if so, then Joe Biden openly admitted to that. Or is it that if there's any confusion at all between the two, then that's impeachable as well? Right? Again, I'm trying to set up exactly what we think the standard should be, because everything is moving goalposts at this point. Okay, so the rest of these texts. On the morning of July 25th, 2019, ahead of the planned call between Trump and Zelensky, the Ambassador Volker advised Andrei Yermak, he said, good lunch, thanks. Heard from White House, assuming President Z, Zelensky, convinces Trump he will investigate, get to the bottom of what happened in 2016, we'll nail down date for visit to Washington. Good luck, see you tomorrow, Kurt. Okay, so this is the text that the Democrats are focusing in on, because this one obviously has a quid pro quo right in it. Notice what that text did not mention. Joe Biden, right, says, assuming that Zelensky convinces Trump that he'll investigate and get to the bottom of what happened in 2016. That's a legitimate American interest, Ukrainian interference in the 2016 election. Hell, we had a two-year investigation about Russian interference in the 2016 election. So there is nothing wrong with the administration or Rudy Giuliani or anybody in between investigating what happened in the 2016 election. As I say, in fact, Democrats were pressuring the Ukrainian government to work with the Mueller probe with regard to what happened in the 2016 election, only directed at Russia. So directing that same question at Ukraine is not illegitimate. That text is not a smoking gun. That text actually just adds to the lack of clarity about what exactly is the investigation we are talking about. By Volker's own testimony, it's not Biden. He said he was downplaying the Biden stuff to Giuliani. But if you are Trump, what makes you nervous right now is that Rudy Giuliani will be called to testify, and that man has no filter whatsoever and just says stuff. And we'll get some more of these texts and all of the rest of the evidence, President Trump in China, CNN canceling Trump, as we'll get to all of that in just a second. First, Congress is back in session. Democrats want to mess with your health care. Of course. They are trying to put price controls on American businesses, hit them with a $100 billion tax hike. That could set medical research back decades. It could lead to massive medicine shortages. It could destroy countless good-paying jobs. Thankfully, my friends over at FreedomWorks are fighting to stop Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats. But if they're going to succeed, they do need your help. Please text Ben to 52886. That is my name, Ben, to 52886 right now and sign the petition. Right now, American medical researchers are working around the clock to find cures for deadly illnesses like cancer and Alzheimer's and heart disease. But if Pelosi's bill passes, their research will come to a screeching halt, leaving countless Americans to pay the price while they wait in line for health care. That's why we've got to do everything we can to help FreedomWorks stop the Democrats' health care schemes. Please text Ben, my name, to 52886. Help FreedomWorks stop Nancy Pelosi's health care takeover. Again, please text Ben to 52886 and sign FreedomWorks' petition. That is my name, Ben. Text it to 52886. Help stop Nancy Pelosi's big health care takeover. Alrighty, so back to these texts. So Yermak apparently gave sort of an informal readout of the Trump-Zelensky call. After the call, Ambassador Volker received a readout from the Ukrainian presidential advisor Yermak and confirmed his intent to meet Giuliani in Madrid. Yermak said phone call went well. President Trump proposed to choose any convenient dates. President Zelensky chose 2021-22 September for the White House visit. Thanks again for your help. Please remind Mr. Mayor to share the Madrid dates. Volker said, great, thanks and will do. And then on August 9th, 2019, this is the other text message that people are honing in on. Quote, someone says, Morrison ready to get dates as soon as Yermak confirms. And Volker says, excellent, how did you sway him? Someone says, not sure I did. I think President really wants the deliverable. Volker said, but does he know that? Someone said, yep, clearly lots of convos going on. Volker said, okay, and it's good it's coming from two separate sources. Someone says, to avoid misunderstandings, might be helpful to ask Andre for a draft embargoed so that we can see exactly what they propose to cover. Even though Zelensky does a live presser, they can still summarize in a brief statement. Thoughts? And Volker says, agree. So what exactly is supposed to be in that Ukraine statement? What exactly is this brokered agreement? Well, on August 9th, 2019, after Giuliani met with President Zelensky's aide, Andrei Yermak, Volker asked to speak with Giuliani about the Ukrainian statement. Volker said, hi, Mr. Mayor. Had a good chat with Yermak last night. He was pleased with your phone call. Mentioned Zelensky making a statement. Can we all get on the phone to make sure I advise Zelensky correctly as to what he should be saying? Want to make sure we get this done right? Thanks. Sondland said, good idea, Kurt. I'm on Pacific time. And Giuliani said, yes, you can call now, going to fundraiser at 12:30. The next day, President Zelensky's aide Yermak pressed Ambassador Volker for a date for the White House visit before committing to a statement announcing an investigation explicitly referencing the 2016 election in Burisma. So that is the Democratic description. Here is the actual exchange. So Yermak says, hi, Kurt. Please let me know when you can talk. I think it's possible to make this declaration and mention all these things, which we discussed yesterday, but it will be logic to do after we receive a confirmation of date. We inform about date of visit and about our expectations and guarantees for future visit. Let's discuss it. Volker says, okay, it's late for you. Why don't we talk in my morning, your afternoon tomorrow? Say 10 a.m., 5 p.m. Volker says, I agree with your approach. Let's iron out statement and use that to get date, and then President Z can go forward with it. Yermak says, okay. Volker says, great. Gordon is available to join as well. Yermak says, excellent. Once we have a date, we will call for a press briefing, announcing upcoming visit and outlining vision for a reboot of U.S.-Ukraine relationship, including, among other things, Burisma and election meddling in investigations. And Volker says, sounds great. Okay, so here is where you start at the first time in any of these texts, the explicit mention of Burisma. Right, so the question is now the Biden-Burisma stuff its own thing that Trump is specifically asking for and focusing in on, and the corruption stuff is just an excuse, or is it under the broader rubric of anti-corruption? And that one is, you know, it's frankly, it's hard to say. It is. I mean, it's very hard, and this is why I keep coming back to you. Rudy Giuliani is going to have to testify about this stuff. Now, I don't think we have conclusive evidence, but the text messages are sure not good for the Trump administration. Following the August 9th, 2019 outreach to Giuliani, Volker and Sondland had an exchange regarding the proposed Ukrainian statement. Volker said special attention should be paid to the problem of interference in the political processes of the United States, especially with the alleged involvement of some Ukrainian politicians. I want to declare that this is unacceptable. So here is the Trump case. Here's Volker's case. I am explicitly saying I do not want Ukraine involved in U.S. elections. Right? In these texts. So we are talking about the broader rubric of corruption because I'm explicitly ruling out Ukrainian interference in the American election process, right? He says, I want to declare that this is unacceptable. We intend to initiate and complete a transparent and unbiased investigation of all available facts and episodes, including those involving Burisma and the 2016 U.S. elections, which in turn will prevent the recurrence of this problem in the future. And Sondland says, perfect, let's send to Andre after our call. Right, so obviously Trump's team is saying basically that Burisma is part of the broader corruption inquiry, just as Manafort was brought part of the broader Obama corruption inquiry into Ukraine in 2016. On August 17, 2019, Volker and Sondland had an exchange in which they discussed their message to Ukraine. Sondland says, we still want Zelensky to give us an unequivocal draft of 2016 and Burisma. Volker says, that's the clear message so far. I'm hoping we can put something out there that causes him to respond with that. Sondland says, unless you think otherwise, I'll return Andre's call tomorrow, suggest they send us a clean draft. On August 28th, Zelensky's aide, Yermak, texted Ambassador Volker a news story titled, Trump holds up Ukraine military aid meant to confront Russia. Yermak said, need to talk with you. Volker said, absolutely. On August 30th, Trump canceled his trip to meet Zelensky. Bill Taylor, and this is the first you hear of Bill Taylor in these exchanges. Bill Taylor is an Obama-era holdover, and so this has led to some suspicion that Bill Taylor was either working with the whistleblower or that Bill Taylor was basically trying to create a narrative that this was all about Biden, not merely about anti-corruption. And Bill Taylor said, trip canceled. Volker said, hope the vice president keeps the bilateral and tees up a White House visit. Sondland says, I'm going. Pompeo is speaking to the president today to see if he can go. Bill Taylor says, are we now saying that security assistance and White House meeting are conditioned on investigations? And Sondland says, call me. The Democrats are saying, well, that's suspicious because why are they now using phones and not texting? So Sondland is going to be called to testify as well. Okay, and now Bill Taylor is starting to really get upset about all of this, right? Bill Taylor starts texting Volker and Sondland, and he's saying, guys, is this really a quid pro quo for Biden? Right? Bill Taylor says, the nightmare is they give the interview and don't get the security assistance. The Russians love it, and I quit. Right? In other words, that they are going to start to do these investigations, and the Democrats are, and then the aid is held up to Ukraine anyway. And then here is the one that the Democrats are really focusing on in extreme fashion today. Taylor says, the message to the Ukrainians and Russians we send with the decision on security assistance is key. With the hold, that we've already shaken their faith in us. Thus my nightmare scenario. Taylor says, counting on you to be right about this interview, Gordon. And someone says, Bill, I never said I was right. I said we are where we are and believe we have identified the best pathway forward. Let's hope it works. Taylor says, as I said on the phone, I think it's crazy to withhold security assistance for help with a political campaign. And someone says, Bill, I believe you're incorrect about President Trump's intentions. The president has been crystal clear, no quid pro quos of any kind. The president is trying to evaluate whether Ukraine is truly going to adopt the transparency and reforms President Zelensky promised during his campaign. I suggest we stop the back and forth by text. If you still have concerns, I recommend you give Lisa Kenna or S a call to discuss them directly. Thanks. I don't know who S is in this particular conversation. Okay, so Bill Taylor obviously thinks this is a quid pro quo. Sondland is saying it is not a quid pro quo. Volker is saying it is not a quid pro quo, at least with regard to the actual investigation into Biden. So that is where things stand. Does this make us more suspicious today than we were yesterday about the transcript of the phone call? The answer there has to be yes, obviously, because there were obviously negotiations taking place. Now, were those predicated on Biden specifically, or was it about a broader corruption effort? Unclear. Coming up, the Wall Street Journal has a report that President Trump fired his ambassador to Ukraine. It is not clear why she was fired, however. Was it because she was obstructing an investigation into Biden, or just because she's a Democrat and Trump didn't like that? This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Does your water stain and damage your fixtures? Does it smell or taste bad? Are you worried about what's in your water? Water quality should not be painful and worrisome. Get HydroCare Water Systems from Wave Home Solutions with the most advanced purification technologies. Call Wave Home Solutions today at 1-888-973-WAVE or go to wavecleanwater.com. HydroCare will eliminate lime scale that causes hundreds of dollars in damage to pipes and appliances. Without using salt, well water will no longer smell or stain your fixtures. City water will be purified of harmful chlorine, lead, arsenic, and chemicals. Wave Home Solutions provides the cleanest, healthiest water at every faucet. Satisfaction guaranteed. For more information, call 1-888-973-WAVE. 1-888-973-WAVE. Or go to wavecleanwater.com. That's wavecleanwater.com.
Wave Home Solutions.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Make a healthy choice about the air you breathe. Start with the Wave Smart Ventilation Unit to expel the polluted damp air from your basement and crawl space. Then add upstairs a hospital-grade 6-stage air purifier which includes a HEPA filter and a powerful dual UV system. Stop worrying about mold, odors, radon, carbon monoxide, chemicals, and hundreds of other pollutants that are trapped in your home. Visit dryhome123.com and learn how to make your home healthier and fresher all year round. That's dryhome123.com.
Are your tax problems keeping you up at night? Hi, Tax Owl here from the Coast One Tax Group. If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state in back taxes, take 10 minutes and call Coast One Tax Group. It could save you 93% or more. Coast One Tax Group helps people all across America save big amounts of money. David from California saved $48,000 on back taxes. James and Lisa from Dallas saved $102,000. Call Coast One Tax Group now at 888-337-6949. A 10-minute call could save 93% or more. So who are you going to call? Coast One Tax Group, that's who. See how much you can save. The consultation is always free. What are you who waiting for? Relieve your tax stress today. Call Coast One Tax Group at 888-337-6949. That's 888-337-6949.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So adding on to the pile of stuff Democrats are pushing today is a piece from the Wall Street Journal about the firing of Marie Yovanovitch, who was the U.S. ambassador to Ukraine. The Wall Street Journal reported that President Trump ordered the removal of the ambassador to Ukraine after months of complaints from allies outside the administration, including Rudy Giuliani, that she was undermining him abroad and obstructing efforts to persuade Kiev to investigate former Vice President Joe Biden, according to people familiar with the matter. So there's always that anonymous sourcing. The recall of Yovanovitch in the spring has become a key point of interest in the House impeachment inquiry. A whistleblower complaint by a CIA officer alleges the president solicited foreign interference in the 2020 elections. The complaint cites Yovanovitch's ouster as one of a series of events that paved the way for what the whistleblower alleges was an abuse of power by the president. State Department officials were told this spring Yovanovitch's removal was a priority for the president, a person familiar with the matter said. Secretary of State Pompeo supported the move. Yovanovitch was told by the State Department they couldn't shield her from attacks by the president and his allies, according to people close to her. In an interview, Rudy Giuliani told the Wall Street Journal, in the lead-up to Yovanovitch's removal, he reminded the president of complaints percolating among Trump supporters that she had displayed an anti-Trump bias in private conversations. In Mr. Giuliani's view, she had also been an obstacle to efforts to push Ukraine to investigate Biden and his son Hunter. So again, this is why, if Rudy testifies, it's a real problem for Trump. Because it sounds like in this interview that Giuliani is telling the Wall Street Journal that Trump fired an ambassador because she was not attempting to push forward the Biden investigation in Ukraine. However, the Wall Street Journal also reports that when Yovanovitch left her post in May, the State Department said she was concluding her assignment as planned. She was recalled 3 months before the end of her customary three-year diplomatic tenure. Giuliani told the Journal that when he mentioned the ambassador to the president this spring, Trump thought that she had already been dismissed. Giuliani said he subsequently received a call from a White House official asking him to list his concerns about the ambassador again. He then gave Pompeo, the Secretary of State, a 9-page document dated March 28th that included a detailed timeline of the Biden's dealings in Ukraine and allegations of impropriety against Yovanovitch, including that she was very close to Mr. Biden. Okay, well, that's a different thing, right? In other words, if Giuliani is saying that Yovanovitch is basically a Democrat appointee and that she is very close to Trump's political opponent and that that's a problem, Trump does have plenary power over the executive branch. That doesn't mean that they are firing her for holding up an investigation into Biden. If you believe that somebody is stacked against any of your interests because you are a Republican and that person's a Democrat, this is why, for example, it's pretty customary to fire all of the U.S. attorneys when you enter office as President of the United States. So the question in this story is, again, whether this was about the Biden investigation in Ukraine and Yovanovitch not participating in it, or whether it was about she was a Democrat, Trump's a Republican, didn't like her. Okay, now all of this is exacerbated yesterday because President Trump then decides to go out publicly on the South Lawn of the White House and call on China to investigate the Bidens, which of course adds to the miasma and fog of complaints that President Trump keeps going out there and asking foreign countries to investigate Biden.
Likewise, China should start an investigation into the Bidens, because what happened to China is just about as bad as what happened with Ukraine.
Okay, so people are jumping on this, and they're saying, well, that now Trump is just throwing out their quid pro quos. He's asking for foreign interference. Okay, now, this is Trump riffing, okay? This is John Belushi in Animal House. He's just saying stuff, because that's what he does. He does. Now, the Democrats and the media, they are trying to claim that Trump has already raised Biden in calls with Xi Jinping, but the fact is that he was just, again, riffing in a conversation with Xi Jinping. Right, during a phone call with Xi on June 18th, Trump raised Biden's political prospects as well as those of Elizabeth Warren. Apparently in that call, I mean, what is more troubling is Trump told Xi he'd remain quiet on Hong Kong protests as the trade talks progressed, which is in and of itself a moral problem, but that is not a moral problem that goes to the heart of the criminal activity alleged. And by the way, why exactly is Trump mentioning China? Well, because Hunter Biden formed an investment consulting firm called Rosemont Seneca with a relative of John Kerry. And then he met with two top executives of China's sovereign wealth fund, Social Security Fund, and largest banks. Okay, they're not going to meet with Hunter Biden unless Joe Biden is his daddy. Now, does that mean that Joe Biden is involved in the corruption there? Not really, but it does mean that Hunter has been taking advantage of daddy's name, and he's been doing that for a very long time. Jim Garrity at National Review says, it's fair to wonder just what Rosemont Seneca had to offer huge institutional investors beyond the stepson of a top Democratic senator turned Secretary of State, John Kerry, and the son of the vice president. It certainly wasn't a big firm. Trump and Giuliani keep insisting the Chinese paid or gave Hunter Biden $1.5 billion. That's not...
Did you know that the city of Reading has started licensing commercial cannabis activities within the city limits? Synergy is the first of the city's approved retailers to obtain licensure, bringing to the Reading area the most experienced retailer in the North State. They will ensure that your visit is both professional and comfortable. Access is simple and discreet. Synergy has a private 25-space parking lot at the back of the building. Synergy is located at 345 Hempstead Drive, Reading.
No one plans to visit the emergency room, but when life's accidents happen, you need to get treated, not seated. Shasta Regional Medical Center is located at 1100 Butte Street in downtown Reading. They have emergency room doctors and staff that guarantee you will be seen by a medical professional within 30 minutes of your arrival. Shasta Regional Medical Center believes in delivering patient-centered health care with compassion and respect for every patient and their family.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Gordon Griffin. The House committee has sent a subpoena to the White House demanding documents that could provide details on President Donald Trump's effort to push Ukraine to produce information that could damage Joe Biden's presidential run. Meanwhile, the president is insisting that his call for Ukraine to investigate Joe Biden is not politically motivated. White House correspondent Greg Clugston reports.
The president says his concern about the 2016 election and Joe Biden centers on corruption, not politics.
I don't care about Biden's campaign, but I do care about corruption. His campaign, that's up to him. Politics, that's up to them. I don't care about politics.
He tells reporters that he believes there was tremendous corruption with Biden, and he denies there was a quid pro quo with Ukraine to investigate. Greg Clugston, Washington.
Brexit talks between British and EU officials are continuing, but key European leaders are not persuaded about the latest Irish border recommendations proposed this past week.
After around 5 hours of discussions with the UK, the European Commission issued a statement saying, in their words, there was still no basis for concluding an agreement. That's because Brussels negotiators want fundamental changes to the British proposals before they agree to serious talks on the final text of a treaty. The UK wanted that process to be underway by now. A spokesman for the British government said the European Commission must realise that the backstop had to go and that talks should continue at pace.
That is BBC correspondent Adam Fleming reporting from Brussels. Bernie Sanders says he's feeling much better after having a heart attack and being released from a hospital. Sanders posted a video on Twitter Friday in which he's seen smiling and standing with his wife in a Las Vegas park. Sanders signed off by saying, "See you soon on the campaign trail." More on these stories at townhall.com.
Hi, I'm Bill O'Reilly.
And I'm Alexander Green, Chief Investment Strategist of the Oxford Club.
Now, I've been following Alex's work here for 15 years. Alex joins me in what we're calling the Great American Wealth Project. It's a free online event that will show you how to get wealthy in the booming Trump economy. Alex, right now, there are more millionaires created each day than at any other time in history. Yet at the same time, many hardworking folks get left behind.
And that's exactly why we created the Great American Wealth Project, to help those who aren't ready for retirement and deserve the chance to retire rich. At the event, I'm giving away details on my number one millionaire-making stock.
Alex and I reveal exactly what it takes to supercharge your wealth. Plus, I'll show you how to get my brand new book, The United States of Trump, absolutely free. So please make sure you join us at the Great American Wealth Project. Just go to O'ReillyWealthProject.com and get started. Again, that's O'ReillyWealthProject.com.
Presented by the Oxford Club.
Iraq's Prime Minister Adel Abdel Mahdi says he accepted the rightful demands of protesters as he called for calm after 3 days of unrest.
Grand Ayatollah Ali al-Sistani urged both the protesters and the security forces not to use violence, but he sympathized with the demonstrators who are angry at the lack of jobs, dire public services, and rampant corruption. He said the government had failed to answer these demands and that it must act before it was too late. Earlier, the Prime Minister, Adel Abdel Mahdi, defended his record and talked of a plan to ease the hardship of the poorest families. But he said there was no magic solution to the country's many problems.
That's BBC correspondent Alan Johnston reporting. Since Tuesday, 53 people have been killed in clashes between demonstrators and security forces. News and analysis at townhall.com. Microsoft says hackers linked to the Iranian government have targeted a U.S. presidential campaign.
The company says a group it calls Phosphorus attempted to penetrate 241 accounts during a 30-day period in August and September. In addition to the U.S. presidential campaign, which Microsoft did not identify citing privacy concerns, other targets included government officials, media, and prominent Iranian expatriates. The hacker successfully penetrated 4 of the accounts, and in a blog post, Microsoft's vice president for security says the owners have been notified. Microsoft says none of the penetrated accounts was associated with presidential campaigns or current or past U.S. officials. Ben Thomas, Washington.
Diane Carroll, the Oscar-nominated actress and singer who's won critical acclaim as the first black woman to star in a non-servant role in a TV series as Julia, has died of cancer. She was 84 years old. More on these stories at townhall.com. I'm Gordon Griffin.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Hey, and welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. I've got a lot coming up for you this hour. A little bit later on in the hour, we'll be joined by James O'Keefe. He's the founder and president of Project Veritas. This week marks the 10-year anniversary of the blockbuster Acorn story being released. We'll go back and recap exactly what happened in that story, because it is indicative of a time when American Congress people actually cared about bipartisanship, at least to a certain extent. We'll go back and do that in just a little bit. Plus, we will get to the vaunted Ben Shapiro Show mailbag. You should subscribe to Daily Wire so you can be part of that mailbag. But we begin this hour with one of the reasons why conservatives are so hesitant to believe the media. And that is because the media consider themselves the great arbiters of truth. Right? They're the ones who are going to tell us what is true and what is false. But then it seems like they want to put their thumb on the scale at the same time. And we are uncomfortable with this, correctly uncomfortable with all of this. So let's take an example. Today, CNN said that it will not run two Trump campaign ads. Why? Well, they say it's demonstrably false, these ads. They say these ads are simply not true. So let's look at the ads and we'll determine whether they are, in fact, demonstrably false.
Democrats trying to undo the election, regardless of facts.
Well, we know it's not illegal. What crime was violated? Can you name one?
Attacking the president by any means necessary.
The entire whistleblower complaint is based on hearsay. This seems to me like a political setup.
Fabricating evidence.
Adam Schiff, in the middle of a committee hearing, making crap up.
None of those things are in this transcript.
It's nothing short of a coup. And it must be stopped.
I'm Donald Trump, and I approve this message.
Okay, so there's nothing in that ad that is inaccurate. Everything in that ad is accurate. Now, it's very strong stuff, obviously, but there's nothing in the ad that is technically inaccurate or factually inaccurate. And yet it was rejected by CNN. Why? Because they disparaged the network's journalists. Now, that's a weird complaint. So you're going to say that any ad that apparently has a clip of your journalists looking not great, you're not going to run on your network? Doesn't seem like a great news network tack to take. Here's the second ad, and they say this one is demonstrably false.
They couldn't defeat him, so now the swamp's trying to take him out. First, the Mueller investigation. Now Ukraine. Politics at its worst. President Trump is changing things, renegotiating bad trade deals, securing our border, creating 6 million new jobs. It isn't pretty. The swamp hates it, but Mr. Nice Guy won't cut it. It takes a tough guy to change Washington. It takes Donald Trump.
I'm Donald Trump, and I approve this message.
Okay, not seeing anything in that ad that is a problem. Okay, so here is what CNN said. On Thursday, they said they would not run two Trump campaign ads because they disparage the network's journalists and make demonstrably false claims while discussing impeachment and pushing unsubstantiated allegations of corruption against former Vice President Joe Biden. The network's decision comes as the Trump administration escalates its attacks on congressional Democrats' impeachment efforts and continues to lash out at media organizations it tries to discredit as fake news. The first rejected ad, posted last week to YouTube, suggested that the president was being unfairly scrutinized for pressing Ukraine to investigate Biden and his son, Hunter. The ad accuses Trump's potential 2020 opponents of corruption. because they say, well, there's something corrupt about the Biden-Ukraine relationship. It's a 30-second commercial, and it claims that Joe Biden promised Ukraine $1 billion to fire a prosecutor looking into his son's company. Well, that's true. I mean, he did say that he'd withheld $1 billion in loan guarantees from the United States to Ukraine in order to fire a prosecutor, and it is true that the prosecutor was looking into his son's company, Burisma. Okay, according to the Washington Post, this is false, though. They say Hunter Biden sat on the board of energy firm Burisma but does not own it. Okay, that wasn't the claim. And while Biden was key in the Obama administration's efforts to remove Ukrainian prosecutor Viktor Shokin by using U.S. aid as leverage, no evidence indicates Biden sought to help his son. Okay, but that wasn't the allegation. The allegation is that there is a coincidental connection here that ought to be scrutinized. The ad then goes on to criticize media lapdogs and depicts Don Lemon and Chris Cuomo, as well as Jim Acosta and Rachel Maddow, which, of course, is exactly right. CNN said in a statement that, in, quote, addition to disparaging CNN and its journalists, the ad makes assertions that have been proven demonstrably false by various news outlets, including CNN. The Trump campaign maintained that the Biden ad is accurate and was reviewed by counsel. The ad that was titled Coup was rejected as well. That ad decried Democrats' impeachment efforts as an attempt to undo the election regardless of fact and accused Adam Schiff of fabricating evidence. The impeachment push was nothing short of a coup. CNN cited similar concerns about false statements in declining the newer commercial, saying the spot makes claims about the whistleblower complaint against the president that the intelligence community inspector general has debunked. In addition, it's inaccurate to use the word coup to describe a constitutionally prescribed legal process as the company. So I agree, it's not a coup. Also, that is a term of political art. Like, does anyone really believe that when Trump says coup, what he means is that a military coup is taking place to throw him out of the White House? It's absurd. And then people wonder why people think that CNN is biased. Of course people think that CNN is biased. So that is ridiculous on its face. Joe Biden's campaign is sending empty threats to the Trump campaign. Apparently, the Biden campaign manager, Greg Schultz, wrote a letter to Fox News threatening Fox that Fox shouldn't run and saying, though the Trump campaign is preparing to fabricate outright lies, your station's airwaves should not be used to disseminate them. We are putting you on notice about the absolute falsity of the advertisement's claims. We expect that you will reject it. Yeah, good luck with all of that. Good luck with all that. By the way, I should note here, Facebook gets a lot of crap. Facebook has not rejected the ads. The reason that Facebook didn't reject the ads is because Facebook should not reject the ads. Again, it is not up to Facebook to cancel political campaign ads that are highly charged. If you want to fact check the ads, go ahead, and then we can all read about it. But if the idea is that Facebook is supposed to be the ultimate arbiter of facts, or that CNN is supposed to be the ultimate arbiter of facts, you wonder why people are skeptical of big tech or big media. That would be the reason why. Right, I'll play you any Democratic ad on the air, and then I will debunk it. But I would never suggest that it should be banned from the air. That's absurd on its face. Now, the media are jumping both feet on Trump over the last 48 hours, and that's not just Democrats on non-Fox News networks. It includes Chip Smith, who is a left-leaning host, obviously, on Fox. Yesterday, President Trump went out on the South Lawn, and he suggested that China should look into the Bidens and into Hunter Biden and Joe Biden, which is weird because there's no allegation that they actually committed a crime against China in China. Presumably, the people in China investing in Hunter Biden's hedge fund were approved by the Chinese government. In any case, Shep Smith says that Trump just committed a crime on live television.
The president asked Ukraine and China to investigate his political rival on television for all the world to hear. Fox News knows of no federal investigation of his rival for any violations of any American law. If it is determined that the president made that request to help his campaign for re-election, President Trump may have violated federal law. It is illegal to ask a foreign national or foreign country for any political assistance.
Okay, it is not illegal to ask a foreign national or any political or any foreign country for information. That's not illegal. If that were illegal, Hillary Clinton would be in jail right now. She and the DNC did it with the Ukrainian embassy in 2016. So that is an inaccurate statement of law. If you want to say that it's bad, I agree. It's not something you should do. It's not something Trump should have done. If you want to suggest that it is illegal, then Trump committed an impeachable offense by saying stuff on the South Lawn. Yeah, good luck with that particular argument. Chuck Todd doubled down on this. He's getting all sorts of plaudits from the left because finally Chuck Todd is standing up to the man. He's grown a beard, which I guess is a thing. You know, the beards help some people. They don't really help other people. Beard has helped Ted Cruz. Not sure that the beard helps Chuck Todd. He sort of just looks like Paul Giamatti from Billions now. In any case, here is Chuck Todd going off on Trump.
Let's be frank. A national nightmare is upon us. The basic rules of our democracy are under attack from the president. We begin tonight with a series of admissions by the president that all but assures his impeachment in the House of Representatives. By the way, this is not hearsay. This is not a leak. This is not a whistleblower complaint. It's not a memorandum of a phone conversation. You heard the president himself do it on the White House lawn. This moment should arguably be a national emergency. The founding fathers would have considered it a national emergency if the president publicly lobbied multiple foreign governments to interfere in the next election.
Okay, well, actually, I'm not sure that the founders would have considered it a national emergency if a president mouthed off, and that was pretty much it. They would have considered it a national emergency if there was a quid pro quo with the foreign government. And that is the question in Ukraine. But Trump going on the lawn of the White House and then saying stuff about China? Look, Trump is Trump. That is all there is to it. And either you deal with it or you don't. But the notion that Trump is doing something uniquely un-Trumpy, that he's actually created a plan to manipulate the election with outside forces, I'm not seeing the evidence of that quite yet. Now, maybe the evidence comes out. And as we'll get to today, we're going to talk about the text messages between various Trump officials. Were they, in fact, threatening Ukraine, that they were going to come after Ukraine's aid or their relations with the United States if they didn't investigate Joe Biden? And was that part of a broader anti-corruption effort, or was it just President Trump wanting to target his political opponent? That's unclear, too. We'll get to all of that in just a few minutes. First, let's talk about the fact that if you are using public Wi-Fi, your data is exposed. There are lots of people who are looking to grab a hold of that data. I'm talking about hackers and governments. I'm talking about big tech. Like, lots of people want your data. Why? Well, because they can use that data. They can monetize that data. Sometimes they're stealing directly from you. Now, there's a flaw called crack in Wi-Fi. It's spelled a K. And it's not too hard for hackers to use that to go after all your material. This is why you should be using ExpressVPN. Now, I use ExpressVPN every time I use my computer or phone. All you need to do is download the ExpressVPN app on your computer or smartphone. You tap one button, and you've now secured 100% of your network data, and then you can use the Internet the way you normally would. ExpressVPN is incredibly reliable. It's the fastest VPN service I've tried. They're also rated the world's number one VPN provider by review sites like TechRadar and CNET. ExpressVPN takes privacy and security to the next level, so go check them out right now. And I use ExpressVPN because I don't want my data subject to anyone else's review. Go check them out right now at expressvpn.com/Ben for 3 extra months free with a 1-year package. Protect your internet today with the VPN I trust to keep my data safe. Again, go to expressvpn.com/Ben to get started. That's expressvpn.com/Ben. Okay, so meanwhile, the big story of the day, obviously, is these text messages that were revealed by House Democrats that seemed to suggest that there was, in fact, a quid pro quo with the Ukrainian government. Now, was the quid pro quo about corruption generally, which wouldn't be a problem because Joe Biden did that, or would that be about Biden specifically and targeting Biden specifically? Well, a lot of Republicans today are saying, well, if the texts are that damning, why don't we have all of them? The House Oversight Committee, Republicans, tweeted out today, House Democrats should be ashamed. By publicly releasing cherry-picked documents, Democrats have polluted the public discourse with misinformation. We hope the American people will get to see the full context of Volcker's testimony. Will Representative Adam Schiff let it happen? Now, they've implied earlier today they would reveal all that information, but we don't actually have any updates on that at this point. Are they going to reveal all of that information? Or are they just going to let what is out there sit out there? I mean, that, I guess, comes down to, do you trust Adam Schiff? If you do, you're a fool. There's nothing about Adam Schiff that screams trustworthy when it comes to releasing full information. This is a person who selectively leaked information for 2 years on the Mueller investigation, and then it turned out that when all of it was put in context, it was bad but not criminal. I think President Trump has a habit of doing things that are bad but not criminal. The question when it comes to an impeachment investigation is whether the criminal statutes were breached. Thus far, we have suggestions, but we don't have anything specifically conclusive, and in the absence of full text messages, for example, in the absence of Rudy Giuliani's testimony, it's going to be very difficult to ascertain whether Trump was pressuring Ukraine to go after Biden for political reasons or whether he was just investigating 2016 and corruption and Burisma and all of this as sort of a whole Ukrainian corruption ball of wax. All righty, coming up, we'll be joined by Mary Eberstadt. She's the senior fellow at Faith and Reason Institute. She'll be stopping by to discuss the attempt to use sex as a weapon in the ongoing political battles. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
If you can't seem to stay ahead of your bills, then this message is for you. How would you like to have a large portion of your credit card debt, medical bills, and department store debt forgiven? National Credit Card Relief would like to give you free information on a proven debt forgiveness program. This program has been used by thousands to legally forgive millions in unsecured debt. It's not bankruptcy. It's not consolidation. This special program actually wipes clean the portion of your debt that is forgiven from what you owe your creditors. Call for free information and get all your questions answered in the first free call. The more you owe, the more you can save. If you have at least $10,000 or more in credit card bills, this debt forgiveness program can be very effective. Call for free information and find out more now. 800-291-6670. There is no cost or obligation for the information. Don't wait. Call 800-291-6670. That's 800-291-6670. Get your debt problem solved. Call 800-291-6670 today. Not available in North Dakota.
On Westwood One Podcast Network.
October 23rd, 2017. This is where the day started. Stefano had been trying to get sober for a while. He'd been struggling with his addiction for 10 years. Around 2009, he started on prescription drugs, painkillers. He was working for a pharmaceutical company, which is convenient.
For those of us left behind, you're constantly trying to find out, what could I have done differently?
This is Last Day. Subscribe today wherever you get your podcasts.
Make a healthy choice about the air you breathe. Start with the Wave Smart Ventilation Unit to expel the polluted damp air from your basement and crawl space. Then add upstairs a hospital-grade 6-stage air purifier, which includes a HEPA filter and a powerful dual UV system. Stop worrying about mold, odors, radon, carbon monoxide, chemicals, and hundreds of other pollutants that are trapped in your home. Visit dryhome123.com and learn how to make your home healthier and fresher all year round. That's dryhome123.com.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Joan London with A Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. It's a free service, and we've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad. There's a place for answers, A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-391-1755. That's 1-800-391-1755.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Well, obviously, with the country more divided than ever, everybody is relegated to their own tribal identity. Joining us online is Mary Eberstadt, senior fellow at Faith and Reason Institute. She's author of the new book, Primal Screams, How the Sexual Revolution Created Identity Politics. Mary, thanks so much for joining the show.
Thanks for having me, Ben.
Well, why don't we start off by talking a little bit about the 2020 presidential race. We obviously see Elizabeth Warren vaulting into the lead in the Democratic primaries, largely on the basis of the idea that she is woman, hear her roar. You know, how reflective of this is this of a culture of sexual division that has been promulgated by the left?
Well, the left is certainly responsible in the sense that what is really behind this is, of course, the sexual revolution. The sexual revolution unmoored people from their families, unmoored people from religious faith, and this flight to identity politics is all about that desire to reattach to primal groups of some kind. And that's what we really have to understand about this, Ben. It's that primordial emotions are now driving a lot of our politics.
Well, let's talk a little bit about those primordial emotions that are driving our politics. I mentioned the breakdown into tribalism, and we've been focusing largely in the United States on racial tribalism, but it's pretty obvious that the gender gap in American politics is actually becoming more of a significant factor than the racial gap in American politics. Why exactly has there been this breakdown between the sexes? It seems like, you know, if men were from Mars and women were from Venus, at least they used to travel between the planets. Now it seems like that is completely broken down.
Well, if you look at what the sexual revolution caused, there are a number of things that I call acts of subtraction. Abortion, fatherless homes, the breakup of the family, all of these have had the effect of subtracting people out of the lives of individuals. Why does this matter? Well, it matters because the family and the churches were the places where once people learned about the opposite sex, right? And learned how to be civilized members of society. What we have to understand is that with the decline of the churches and the decline of the family, a lot of people don't have that social grounding anymore. And I think that is why there is this massive misunderstanding between the sexes. People are just, ironically, they may be sexually experienced, but they are not sexually knowledgeable about the opposite sex because they have not learned in the context of their family about these things. So people are being launched out into the world with very little social knowledge, given the kind of social creatures we are.
We're speaking with Mary Eberstadt. She's senior fellow at Faith and Reason Institute. Her new book is Primal Screams, How the Sexual Revolution Created Identity Politics. Well, in your book, Mary, you talk about not just the breakdown between men and women. You talk about how that sexual revolution actually led to the rise of other types of identity politics. What's the connection between the sort of identitarianism of I am woman, hear me roar, and the rise of that movement and the tribal breakdown, yes, in terms of race and sexual orientation and all the rest?
Well, we are creatures who seek meaning. That's just an ineradicable part of our natures. And if we cannot find meaning in the traditional ways, if we can't answer that question, who am I, in the context of family, in the context of religious faith, we will construct substitute religious faiths. And in addition to the example that you offer, Ben, I would say this end-of-the-world climate change activism is a perfect example of a substitute religion toward which people are gravitating who don't have experience of organized religion and who are not, again, grounded in the traditional ways of family.
Well, let's talk for a second about how we heal all of this, because it's pretty obvious that things are getting worse, not better, along the lines of tribal polarization. Do you see hope for a future here, especially considering the increase, not decrease, in secularism in the country, a seeming glorification of identity politics on every level, the idea that you are to be given extra credence if you are a member of a particular minority, or in the case of women, majority group in the United States? How do we come back from this?
Well, I see hope for a couple of reasons. One is that cancel culture has become this kind of forever war, and it is devouring its own. And I think the people of reason who are left out there are going to rise in reaction to that. I also think that the empirical damage of the sexual revolution is a matter of record, and that record grows by the year. So I think that in a way it's analogous to the example of tobacco smoking. We're going to have some kind of revival come out of this record of damage, and that's because we're creatures of reason as well as social animals. And sooner or later, by holding a mirror up to this damage, I hope hearts and minds will be changed.
Well, this is Mary Eberstadt, senior fellow at Faith and Reason Institute. Mary, thanks so much for your time. Her book is Primal Screams, How the Sexual Revolution Created Identity Politics. Go out and buy it today. Mary, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me, Ben.
Well, meanwhile, some actual good news. The economy continues to move in robust fashion today. There is a report that the September job growth has slowed in September, but the U.S. economy did add 136,000 jobs. Average hourly earnings climbed 2.9%. That is a bit of a slowdown from previous months, but the unemployment rate has hit a 50-year low, which is good news for President Trump, or at least a headline that he can trumpet. Healthcare, transportation, and business service sectors added jobs at a robust clip in September, according to the Wall Street Journal. Payrolls for August and July were revised up by a combined 45,000. Manufacturers are cutting, and that does suggest that we may be entering a period of low growth at the very least. Nonetheless, weakening global growth has prompted policymakers around the world to cut key interest rates this year. The U.S. Federal Reserve did that. There's an expectation the Federal Reserve will do it again. President Trump's reelect prospects rest almost entirely on the continuation of a strong economy. The share of Americans aged 25 to 54 working or seeking work held steady at 82.6% in September. That sustained the August pop in prime age participation. People are confident in their employment prospects, but the outlook remains a little bit murky going forward. Already coming up, we're going to be jumping into the mailbag. It's Friday. You should subscribe over at dailywire.com so you can become part of the mailbag. Send in your letters and have the answers provided by me. Also, A little bit later on in the hour, we're going to be speaking with James O'Keefe. It is the 10th anniversary of the Acorn scandal, a time when people actually cared whether leftist organizations were involved in open corruption. We'll get to that a little bit later on in the program. So keep it right here and stick around. You're listening to The Ben Shapiro Show.
Hear us streaming 24/7 at KCNR1460.com.
Orchard Nutrition Center presents the Healthy Living Expo, November 2nd, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. at the Red Lion Hotel. There'll be free samples, information, and education all dedicated to your health, and it's free admission. Come check out the dozens and dozens of booths, plus free educational talks in the Sundial Room with expert guest speakers all dedicated to your health. So make plans to bring your family to the Healthy Living Expo, November 2nd, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. at the Red Lion Hotel. Brought to you by Orchard Nutrition Center.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? Every week, there's a new chapter. To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program, Sunday morning at 9 a.m. on KCNR 1460 AM with your hosts, Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
From the Pacific Justice Institute, this is The Legal Edge with Brad Dacus.
A Christian Finnish politician is under pre-trial investigation for an alleged, quote, hate crime. You see, the politician went to Facebook to post a Bible verse that opposes same-sex relationships to condemn the Evangelical Lutheran Church of Finland's LGBT support.
Stay informed on religious freedoms. Receive our weekly email newsletter, The Legal Insider, at pji.org.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Commons Senior Living. I want to share some thoughts from local 53-year teaching icon Phyllis Hutchinson about her experience living here at River Commons.
To come into a place with this many people and not know the people and be comfortable immediately, that says so much to me. Everybody's so happy. Everybody's talking to everybody. I felt apart the minute I moved in. The music that's brought in, what a wonderful thing to do for people, that we can go down and sit and relax and be entertained. I absolutely cannot imagine a thing that could be done around here that would improve it in any way.
Call today for a tour or lunch in a tour and see for yourself why our residents, just like Phyllis, love living here. River Commons Senior Living, 301 Hartnell, or check us out on the web, river-commons.com.
Hi, this is Chuck Kinney of Shasta Gas Propane. Our company motto is, our customers are warm friends. We are demonstrating our commitment to this motto by helping those in our area that lost their homes in the car fire and are moving onto their property in an RV during the rebuilding process. We can hook up a 120-gallon propane tank to your RV gas system and deliver gas to your property so you won't have to disconnect your 7-gallon cylinder and take it somewhere to get it filled, then reconnect it and relight your pilots. We will deliver and connect the tank at no charge, then discount the price of the propane. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793. We want to help you during this stressful time.
Alan Gordon, Coach Master Collision. She had minor damage to her rear bumper. I wrote her an estimate. Later, I received a call. The lady responsible for the damage wanted to pay for the repairs out of pocket. Her insurance agent told her a claim would raise her rates for years. With our experience in the claim process, I explained to her most insurance companies would forgive a claim if the cost was below a minimum amount. I suggested she contact her insurance agent and have them review her policy. She called back very excited. It appeared her policy did extend forgiveness. They would pay for the repairs, and she wouldn't be charged with a claim or have to pay a deductible. The accident would not cost her a thing. She was very pleased. Good thing the vehicle owner came to the right place for repairs. We all pay a lot for insurance. Choosing Coachmaster will ensure you get the most for your money. Let this experience work for you. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Hi, I'm Sharon Clark of Home Helpers.
It's amazing to look back at all the families we've touched since 2004, but our clients say it best.
I want to express my deep appreciation for the love and support you and your...
So fortunate to have an organization like Home Helpers.
You'll never know how much your contribution meant or how greatly you touched our lives.
Thank you so much for helping me care for my husband.
After hearing what it's meant to them, I truly can't imagine doing anything else. When you need help for your loved one, choose Home Helpers. There is no place like home.
Getting into college doesn't happen magically. You have to take the right classes now, like Algebra 2, Biology, and a Foreign Language. Learn more at knowhowtogo.org.
Brought to you by the American Council on Education, Lumina Foundation for Education, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Well, our subscribers over at Daily Wire understand that if they actually want to have their questions answered, the best thing they can do is subscribe, and they can send in their questions via the mailbag. Let's mailbag it up and take some of your questions. Alex says, hey, Ben, do you think you were wrong about Trump attacking the squad as to whether it was a good tactic or not? You said on your October 3rd show that President Trump's attack led Pelosi to not be able to keep control and push her into the impeachment route. Is Trump doing a sort of political drunken boxer, meaning that he's sort of pretending that he's drunk and drawing Democrats into a trap? Now, I'm always hesitant to believe that Trump thinks along those lines. I don't think there's 3D chess. I don't think he's thinking 13 moves down the board. I think that in reality, he saw that Nancy Pelosi and AOC were at war, and he felt, you know what, I can pummel Nancy. I can pummel both of them, so why not? And that unified the squad with Pelosi, and it forced Pelosi into the uncomfortable position of not being able to marginalize the squad. And that is, as I said, ironically, what led Trump to the position that he's in now, because Pelosi wanted not to do the impeachment thing. And then her left flank said, well, we got to do the impeachment thing. And because she was unable to marginalize that left flank, now she has to do the impeachment thing. Chris says, I work in construction. I often listen to your show on my phone. My boss has told me as of today, we are not allowed to listen to anything on our cell phones. However, I'm the only one who's being held to this rule. A coworker told me my boss is afraid of attracting the wrong kind of attention with the political stuff. So, to my question. First, is it illegal for him to discriminate against an employee based on political affiliations or beliefs? We'll answer that question first. The answer is typically no. Typically, political affiliation is not a protected class under state law, which makes a certain amount of sense because there are lots of jobs where your political affiliation matters. I mean, the fact is that if you are working for Daily Wire as a writer, you probably have to hold a certain number of views that are in common with the editorial viewpoint of the website. Just as if you're writing for Mother Jones, you probably wouldn't want any of the Daily Wire staff writers writing for you. Chris continues, if so, do you think I should pursue action taking into account that my boss is a Republican and is afraid of attracting attention from Democrats? I mean, he's a coward. Well, with cancel culture in full swing, I kind of understand. Yeah, I understand it, too. I do. I mean, I wish he would stand up. But obviously, there's a lot of political risk these days. And the fact is that if you are in an unrelated business, the chance that the left are going to come after you for even tolerating conservative viewpoints is extraordinarily high. He says, I'm sick of being pushed around by the Democrats. Obviously, this is true. And this is why it really is up to your boss. The question is, are you willing to lose the job over that? You can always listen to my show later in the car ride home. Brian says, recently, I've seen two statements being thrown around the internet. If President Trump were to be impeached, it would either completely prevent him from running for a second term, or it would nullify his first term and be allowed to run two more times. What is the actual truth behind an impeachment? Also, for people who want to vet these kinds of statements, how do we know if the information we are reading is correct or manipulated information? Well, here is how you know. So we can look directly to the Constitution. The Constitution discusses who is allowed to run for the presidency of the United States. And because the Constitution does discuss the qualifications for the presidency, we know the answer to this particular question. The answer is that if you are impeached, but you are not removed, you're not convicted, then you can still run. It does not in any way actually change the nature of your first term. So Article 2 has specific numbers of qualifications that you require in order to be elected president of the United States. And it says no person except a natural born citizen or a citizen of the United States at the time of the adoption of this Constitution shall be eligible to the office of the presidency. This would be Article 2, Section 1, Clause 7, I believe. Neither shall any person be eligible to that office who shall have not attained the age of 35 and been 14 years a resident within the United States. In the case of removal of the president from office or of his death, resignation, or inability to discharge the powers and duties of said office, The same shall devolve on the vice president, and the Congress may by law provide for the case of removal, death, resignation, or inability, both of the president and the vice president, declaring what officer shall then act as president. So once he's been removed from office, then he is not allowed to run anymore, because you can't be a convicted criminal and run for the presidency of the United States. Now, with that said, an impeachment alone doesn't do convicted in the Senate. Impeachment is not conviction of a crime. Let's see. Kara says, I heard you mention in a previous episode you're in the process of composing and writing a musical with your father. Can you tell us more about it? I'm imagining a historical musical about President John Adams, or perhaps something about your beloved White Sox. Either way, I am super excited to hear more and wish you and your dad all success. I'm a huge fan. I now have a 13-year-old daughter listening to you and wearing my Facts Don't Care About Your Feelings hoodie to school. Good for you. That's pretty awesome. Okay, so the musical that I'm writing with my dad is a musical based on the Warsaw Ghetto Uprising. So it's a real toe-tapper. The Warsaw Ghetto Uprising, for those who are unfamiliar, 1943, the Jews in the Warsaw Ghetto are being shipped off to the Nazi death camps, and in a heroic last stand, they hold off the Nazis for a full month. It's a really dramatic and horrible and terrifying and tragic story, and I think the musical is really good. My dad and I are basically done with it right now, and then we're going to start taking it on the road, so we'll see how that goes. Ian says, I think we all understand you want to fire Michael Moles. The question is not when, but how. How would you fire Michael Moles? Well, I think that what I would probably do is just fire him and not tell him. So he just wouldn't receive a paycheck. So he'd have to come in here every single day. He'd sit down. He'd do his show. We'd even film it. We just wouldn't distribute it. And he would just kind of live in this bizarre, miasmatic Neverland, thinking that all of his ideas and thoughts were going forth to the world, thinking that he was coming in here doing work. But in reality, he was just sort of sitting in the basement, like the guy from Office Space. And he's not aware that he's even been fired. I think that'd be the best thing. And I would just chuckle, because he'd be here every day thinking things were going great. Nick says, hey, Ben, last week you discussed Marbury versus Madison and stated it might be wrongly decided. My question is, if Marbury versus Madison came out the other way, what would be the check on the legislature when they enacted unconstitutional laws? For example, without Marbury versus Madison, the Supreme Court in Heller would not have been able to review D.C.'s unconstitutional gun restrictions. If the president was of the opposite party, that would be a check, because the president can veto the law. If not, I see no check other than people voting out the legislature and enacting new laws. Right, that would be the check. The check is the people. The problem that I have is that if the judiciary is the final arbiter of the Constitution, well, then there is no check, because you don't get to replace the justices every so often. It's not like they're in rotating tandem. It's not as though they have term limits. So that means that you basically have these all-powerful, all-wise people who are considered such by dint of their robes, and that you're supposed to just take whatever they say as truth, even though that is not the truth very often. David says, new Daily Wire subscriber, my question is regarding faith and religion. I'm a Christian. My wife and I are doing our best to raise our 4 young children in the faith. I struggle with knowing at what age one can be expected to make a religious profession of faith. While I believe there is individual variation, I struggle with the fact that many young people deny their faith once they reach college age. It would seem an early profession may be premature. What is the age of accountability according to your tradition? How can parents best raise their children in the faith? Well, the age when you are first supposed to start reasoning, so I know in Catholicism there's sort of the age of reason, which I believe is 4, 3 maybe. In Judaism there's something similar, which is you're supposed to start being able to tell right from wrong when you are 3 or 4 years old. But the age of actual accountability is 13, right? Bar mitzvah means that you are now subject to all of the laws. So before that, you're not subject to any of the laws, right? Your parents are blamed for your sins. But when you hit 13 for a boy and 12 for a girl, then you are now on the hook for everything. And that seems like a pretty good age to start considering whether or not you believe in all of this stuff and whether you are going to live all of this stuff. Now, listen, people change over time. People leave the faith. They come back to the faith. There's a natural progression to struggling with. Honestly, I think that the first thing that kids need to know when they start asking tough questions is that tough questions and struggling with faith does not make you irreligious. Tough questions and struggling with faith is the nature of faith. One of my favorite Bible stories is the story of Jacob wrestling with the angel. The whole story is about Jacob wrestling with his own faith. The whole story is about Jacob wrestling with God. Jacob is renamed Israel, and in Hebrew that means is Yisrael, okay, and it's literally translated in the Bible. Right? The name itself is translated as a man who struggles with God and wins, right? So the idea is that you're constantly struggling with God's justice. You're constantly struggling with questions about God's providence and providence. That's what it means to be a religious person. Being a religious person is a struggle. I think there's this bizarre view on the secular left that religious people are sort of blithe and go about their daily business without struggling with all the tough questions of religion. And thus, if you just sort of tap them and say, did you know that bad things happen to good people? That religious people should all of a sudden freak. Like, oh, you know, I'd never thought of that. That changes everything. The problem of theodicy, no one's ever thought of it. This is my problem with some of the critiques of religion in Richard Dawkins and Sam Harris. They're critiquing a 10-year-old version of religion where God always gives you what you want. God is a gumball machine. You pray and he gives you what you want. I don't know a single serious religious person who believes that. Religious people constantly struggle with faith. And then they decide that just because they're struggling, that does not mean they don't have faith. Jesse says, I wanted to ask, Andrew Klavan and Michael Moles have both shared on their shows a time when they have dabbled in leftism or their conversion from leftist ideas. Has you, the famous destroyer of libs, ever dabbled in leftist ideology? If so, when and about what changed your mind? No. The answer is no. I've been perfect since the day I was born. I do not have a record of having struggled with leftism. I think there are certain issues where I have become less sanguine about government involvement, particularly in the social sphere. I used to be, for example, much more for criminalization of marijuana. I no longer am. On the other hand, I do remember a time when I was early on in college where I was more dicey on the pro-life issue, and I've become stronger in that way. So, listen, I think that as new evidence arises and as you get older and as you have different experiences, it's worthwhile to continue considering your views. But I never was in danger of being somebody on the left. Verity says, you mentioned you have seen the movie musical 1776. I became obsessed with John Adams from watching it as a kid. I'm afraid to ask, but I need to know. How historically accurate is the movie? The answer is that it's pretty historically accurate. In fact, many of the songs contain specific excerpts from John Adams' writings. So the movie is pretty accurate. The one area that's not accurate is the portrayal of John Dickinson. So John Dickinson actually supported the revolution. He was not the chief opponent. So in the movie, he's sort of the villain. I don't see the evidence for that. And James Wilson is considered sort of this quasi-dullard who finally stands up to John Dickinson. That's not really true either. But the portrayals of Jefferson and Adams and Franklin and Hancock, all of that tends to be pretty true. Okay, we'll get to more of your questions in the mailbag in just a moment. First, did you know that you can watch all 3 hours of The Ben Shapiro Show? You can, but you have to be a Daily Wire premium subscriber. How can you make this happen? Well, head on over to dailywire.com. Click on the subscribe button at the top of the page. Daily Wire premium subscribers are the only people who can watch all 3 hours of the show every day on demand. A Daily Wire subscription includes not only all 3 hours of this show, but you can ask me questions through the mailbag. You can watch live and recorded episodes of The Andrew Klavan Show, Michael Knowles Show, Matt Walsh Show, and more. Plus, we do exclusive subscriber Q&As. In fact, I just did one today. Plus, as part of a limited-time offer, you get the exclusive Leftist Tears tumbler. So you can drink those Leftist Tears, coffee, tea, whatever it is you're into, hot or cold. You ever wonder what the man behind this deep, mellifluous voice looks like? You want to watch or listen to the show at your desk while you pretend to do work? All you have to do is head on over to Daily Wire and click on the subscribe button at the top of the page. It is a magical, mystical experience. It will better your life in every conceivable way. This is the only way to get all 3 hours of The Ben Shapiro Show. Also, when you support the show, you help us bring you the content. The fact is, there are lots of people on the left who wish to destroy this show and shows like it. Subscribe to the shows you like. It helps make sure that they are not targeted and destroyed by a censorious left. And more of your questions. Clint says, I understand why we wouldn't want a president using his power to investigate a potential political rival, but he's still president. Does it mean Biden should get a free pass because he's running against him? No, it doesn't mean that Biden should get a free pass. The question is whether Trump is targeting Biden for political reasons or whether Biden actually committed a crime and thus should be targeted. Again, he is not being targeted by the DOJ. He's not being targeted by the FBI. Trump trying to gin up an investigation against Biden in Ukraine is a weird thing to do. That is a weird thing to do. That is why, as I've said, the only rubric under which that is even conceivable is a generalized anti-corruption rubric saying, why is Burisma being let off the hook? Maybe that's an element of corruption in Ukraine. But if the idea is that Joe Biden must be investigated, the DOJ could do it. We have a pretty robust law enforcement arm in the United States run by the President of the United States. Asking a foreign power to do it looks like a way of edging around the process in the United States to do nefarious things. Brandon says, my question is in regards to the impeachment effort by the Democrats and the long-lasting implications they have for our future. If the Democrats succeed in impeaching Trump based on hearsay alone and not based on any evidence of actual criminal activity on Trump's part, will it set a precedent for future Congresses to impeach the opposing president with impunity? In other words, will each political party look to gain the majority in Congress with the sole aim of impeaching the other party's president? Yeah, probably. It's obviously gotten a lot more political. The Clinton impeachment was not particularly bipartisan. The Nixon impeachment was particularly bipartisan. This one is extraordinarily non-bipartisan. It is extraordinarily partisan. Lowering the standard for impeachment means that standard comes back around. Democrats should be wary of that. One more question. Patton says, hey, Ben, love the show. Listen every day. My question is what it would take for you to vote for or potentially even support a Democrat in the context of modern partisan politics for them to be better than the Republican, meaning that they reflect my policy priorities, meaning pro-life, smaller government, they don't want to steal my guns, that they are running against a particularly bad Republican who disagrees with all of those principles. I vote for the principle, not the party. It just so happens that the parties tend to ingest the principles and then represent them, not always all that well. Already coming up, we'll be joined by James O'Keefe, the founder and president of Project Veritas. It is the 10th anniversary of the Acorn story being released, a time when bipartisanship mattered. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
On Westwood One Podcast Network.
October 23rd, 2017. This is where the day started. Stefano had been trying to get sober for a while. He'd been struggling with his addiction for 10 years. Around 2009, he started on prescription drugs, painkillers. He was working for a pharmaceutical company, which is convenient.
For those of us left behind, you're constantly trying to find out, what could I have done differently?
This is Last Day. Subscribe today wherever you get your podcasts.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Make a healthy choice about the air you breathe. Start with the Wave Smart Ventilation Unit to expel the polluted damp air from your basement and crawl space. Then add upstairs a hospital-grade 6-stage air purifier which includes a HEPA filter and a powerful dual UV system. Stop worrying about mold, odors, radon, carbon monoxide, chemicals, and hundreds of other pollutants that are trapped in your home. Visit dryhome123.com and learn how to make your home healthier and fresher all year round. That's dryhome123.com.
If you are behind on your bills, then this message is for you. How would you like to have a large portion of your credit card debt or medical bills forgiven? National Credit Card Relief would like to give you free information on a proven debt forgiveness program. It's not bankruptcy. It's not consolidation. This special program actually wipes clean the portion of your debt that is forgiven. Call for your free forgiveness information now. 800-291-6670. That's 800-291-6670. Don't wait. Call 800-291-6670. Not available in North Dakota.
Are your tax problems keeping you up at night? Hi, Tax Owl here from the Coast One Tax Group. If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state in back taxes, take 10 minutes and call Coast One Tax Group. It could save you 93% or more. Coast One Tax Group helps people all across America save big amounts of money. David from California saved $48,000 on back taxes. James and Lisa from Dallas saved $102,000. Call Coast One Tax Group now at 888-337-6949. A 10-minute call could save 93% or more. So who are you going to call? Coast One Tax Group, that's who. See how much you can save. The consultation is always free. What are you who waiting for? Relieve your tax stress today. Call Coast One Tax Group at 888-337-6949. That's 888-337-6949.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Well, we are in the midst of a very partisan investigation of the President of the United States. Congress has never been more divided. Joining us on the line right now is James O'Keefe. He's founder and president of Project Veritas. And believe it or not, James, who is considered one of the more divisive political figures in American life, actually was instrumental 10 years ago this week in one of the great bipartisan efforts to fight corruption in modern American history. We're talking, of course, about his uncovering of the Acorn story. James, thanks so much for joining the show.
Hey, Ben, thanks for having me on.
You bet. So why don't we start with the Acorn story? People may not remember. It's been 10 years now. I was first acquainted with your tapes of Acorn, which was this community organizing group that was apparently helping or willing to help foster the sexual exploitation of children. I first became aware of this because of my friend and your friend, Andrew Breitbart, who first showed me the tape before it even broke, and he said, this is going to be a huge story. Why don't you explain what the story was?
Well, the story was, it was an extraordinary thing, Ben. I'd met this young woman on Facebook. Hannah Giles was her name, And she sent me a Facebook message and said, why don't you go into Acorn posing as a prostitute? I'd never even met this person before. I met up with her and off the internet, and I said, well, if there's a prostitute, there's probably a pimp. So we went around to all these offices posing as a prostitute and her pimp, seeking to set up a brothel with government money. And the Acorn workers, to our shock, first in Baltimore, said that they can declare the underage prostitutes as dependents on the tax forms. In New York, they told us to bury it in the ground. In D.C., they told us how to evade the police. So we released these stories one at a time. I had then met Andrew Breitbart in 2009, who someone you knew as well, and a lot happened after we filmed these things and released them.
Yeah, well, I mean, one of the things that happened was obviously an attempt to pretend that the tapes either didn't exist by the media or to deny their veracity. The media kept suggesting that they were deceptively edited. That was the byword of the day. The idea was that you had somehow gone in there and edited to make these people look bad. But in reality, they were attempting to protect children. That immediately fell apart because you just kept releasing these things in serialized fashion. My understanding is that Andrew Breitbart was instrumental in sort of the strategizing of the release.
When I showed him the tapes, Ben, on my dusty old dirty laptop, I had no money, no organization. I just knocked on his door and said, Andrew, what do you think? And he said, well, they're going to say the first one's isolated. I said, well, what about this one? And this one, he took a step back, and Andrew Breitbart said, James, you're going to embarrass the New York Times with this. And actually, a few weeks later, the New York Times, with their tail between their legs, apologized on September 26, 2009, in a piece entitled Tuning In Too Late, the managing editor admitted having been slow off the mark. It was extraordinary, Ben, because both houses of Congress, then democratically controlled President Obama was a Democrat, signed legislating Acorn before the New York Times even wrote to the story. It was an unbelievable series of events, and Andrew had predicted this. Really, the story was not about Acorn or what he called the great society, these workers saying these things, idiot covering it up.
Yeah, James, why do you think it was Democrats at that time were willing to go to defund Acorn? Because if so, I feel like they'll go out there and change the nature.
I think it was a fear of kill bad. Was they could like to attack. I wasn't five times in this skate, but there's no heelized time that we'd reporting it on video.
Well, James, how a bunch of different successes before us.
The main story, which you all could hear, these are people who's their jewel to whistle. Site is or inside of one of these people illegal. We need brave to be part of it.
Really appreciate that there, sir.
Thanks.
U.S. whistleblower said to report her fear for my strategy, the executive on the verge of a bit of a cutting to see the will of but as we with
banking, funding a five-star tip and a fair division our Arbepian of local community success. In a world our first bank managed lines bank can be best by rating agenters just our bank. Bank.fda professional our bank. All is KCNR regional medic your choice.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Gordon Griffith. A subpoena to the White House demanding documents that could provide details on President Donald Trump to push Ukraine to produce information that could damage Joe Biden's presidential run. The subpoena was Oversight and Reform Committee as part of Democrats' impeachment investigation of President Trump. Mr. Trump believes that the impeachment inquiry will backfire on the Democrats. Correspondent Greg Clugston reports.
The president says Republicans have been very unified in the face of an impeachment process, but he acknowledges that House Democrats have the votes to begin a formal impeachment inquiry into his conduct. Nevertheless, the president believes this will hurt Democrats in the 2020 election.
I really believe that they're going to pay a tremendous price at the polls.
Meanwhile, Mr. Trump is insisting that his call for Ukraine to investigate former Vice President Joe Biden is not politically motivated. Greg Clugston, Washington.
The impeachment story is clouding good news on the economic front. Here's correspondent Ken Lorman.
The Labor Department says that America's unemployment rate is now down to just 3.5%, a 50-year low. Employers nationwide added 136,000 new jobs in September. And in additional good news, the unemployment rate among Latinos fell to the lowest level ever recorded.
Microsoft says hackers linked to the Iranian government have targeted a U.S. presidential campaign as well as government officials, media targets, and prominent expatriate Iranians. The company declined to identify the campaign, citing privacy concerns. Microsoft says that the attacks were made by a group called Phosphorus and occurred in August and September. Overall, the hackers attempted to penetrate 241 accounts, four successfully. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Sebastian Gorka here. Maybe you've been hearing about Relief Factor, the 100% drug-free supplement that helps a person's body deal with inflammation and pain. You've heard all the wonderful testimonials. Well, I have my own testimonial. For many years, my lower back pain was becoming a serious problem. The short story is, I finally gave it a try, and now I'm out of pain too. So if you're in pain, you can order the 3-week quick start for just $19.95. Go to relieffactor.com.
I'm a lawn guy, and proud of it. Pro tip, watch the fall leaves. When that first bad boy drops, boom, get feeding and seeding with Scotts. Lay down Scotts Turf Builder today, and come spring, your lawn will be so thick, green, and strong, neighbors like Steve over there will be mad green with envy.
Hey, sweet lawn, Stevie.
Steve.
Don't be a Steve. Be a lawn guy. Pick up a bag of Scotts Turf Builder today. This is a Scotts yard.
A lot of anger has been directed at Hong Kong's chief executive, Carrie Lam, who has used a colonial-era emergency law to ban face masks after months of angry protests.
There are hundreds of people gathering down here, blocking roads. Just behind me here, they were burning a Chinese flag down here a minute ago. And this side, they've been building barriers across the road, blocking these streets. There is a big crowd down this way of angry protesters. People have literally come out of their offices this afternoon, it seems, gone to the convenience store, bought masks, put them on, and come to join this protest. People are literally coming out of their offices to express their anger, to say, you telling me not to put a mask on, I'm going to put a mask on now and take to the streets. And they're saying this is going to build during the evening.
BBC correspondent Rupert Wingfield Hayes reporting. The U.S. targeting lawmakers in Lebanon's parliament for the first time, as well as a local Lebanese bank that Washington claims has ties to the Iranian-backed terrorist Hezbollah group. News and analysis at townhall.com. Washington state officials have announced an earthquake warning phone application is expected to be available for download in October of 2020.
Shake Alert was developed by the U.S. Geological Survey and research universities in California, Oregon, and Washington to send people an alert on how much time they have before earthquake shaking reaches them. The system reads seismometers to pick up initial detection waves, and scientists have plans to assemble 100 more meters in Washington and Oregon for network density. Right now, Shake Alert's available in Washington as a pilot for utilities, cities, and other business and government users. Rhonda Rockster reporting.
Democratic presidential candidate Bernie Sanders had a heart attack, his campaign confirmed Friday, as the Vermont senator was released from the Nevada hospital. The 78-year-old was at a campaign event Tuesday when he experienced chest discomfort and was taken to a hospital where he was diagnosed with a heart attack. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Hi, this is Linda Bott, and let me tell you about our North State Now show on Thursday nights at 6 p.m. right here on KCNR. The first Thursday of the month will be yours truly, covering arts and entertainment and all kinds of fun stuff. The second Thursday will be Michelle Slade, highlighting and interviewing North State heroes. The third Thursday is James Masada and Rhonda Alvey, bringing you all things with Enjoy the Magazine and Enjoy the Store. And the fourth Thursday from Shasta Regional Medical Center is Dr. Orna Gill covering all things women's health. The title sponsor for North State Now is the Reading Civic Auditorium, also brought to you by the Black Bear Diner, Shasta Regional Medical Center, and Carlene's Restaurant and Bar, located at 1100 Center Street. That's North State Now, right here on KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. 6 p.m. North State Now.
Hey, and welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Got a lot to get to this hour. A little bit later on in the hour, we'll be speaking with Dr. David Meckereth. He is a Christian from Birmingham, UK. He had been in the accident and emergency ward with the National Health Service. He was fired for the crime of not referring to transgender people by their preferred pronoun. He cited the Bible and said, I can't do that. And they said, well, that's because the Bible is bigoted. So we'll be talking with him in just a few minutes. We begin at this hour with the big breaking news of the day, which continues to be these text messages that have now been revealed by several members of the Democratic caucus in Congress. Now, the case that's been made by the Democrats and was always made by the Democrats is that there was a quid pro quo, that President Trump was withholding military aid from Ukraine in exchange for a specific investigation into Joe Biden to damage domestic political opponent. And I had made the case that the quid pro quo was not supportable by the transcript of the call between President Trump and Ukrainian President Zelensky. That, in fact, there was good information to suggest that Zelensky didn't even know that military aid was being withheld at the time. Well, now these new text messages show that at the very least there was discussion of a quid pro quo. Now the only question is, was the quid pro quo for something good or was it for something bad? Okay, that is the key question that we have now been reduced to. Was the suggested quid pro quo between the Trump administration and Ukraine about forcing Ukraine to confront its own corruption, which, by the way, Joe Biden has bragged about doing, right? Joe Biden in 2016 said, I withheld $1 billion in American loan aid to Ukraine so that they would fight corruption. And the right said, no, it was really about getting rid of this prosecutor who was at the time targeting a company on which your son was a member of the board. Right? That is the Joe Biden theory. So Joe Biden says, no, it was about corruption. The right says, no, it was about your son. And now the question is, when Trump was threatening to withhold aid, when Trump was threatening to not get together with the Ukrainian president in person, was he doing so because he was attempting to fight corruption on a broad level, or was that because he was targeting Joe Biden? So we basically have near-mirror images in which the right suggests that Biden was acting corruptly, but Trump was acting clean, and the left suggests that Biden was acting clean and Trump was acting corrupt. My inclination is to believe that both of them were not actually being supremely corrupt here, but that is just my inclination, and we will have to see additional evidence. Well, this all comes back to the fore because, as it turns out, there are a bevy of text messages about various Trump administration officials that between them in the run-up to the call between the Ukrainian President Zelensky and President Trump on July 25th. So recall the timeline. Sometime in May, the Trump administration decided not to go forward with military aid. President Trump told Office of Management and Budget Director Mick Mulvaney he didn't want to go forward with the aid. In the middle of July, there are all these ongoing conversations about getting Trump on the phone with Zelensky. Then Trump gets on the phone with Zelensky. We've seen that transcript. We read through it word for word, at least the summary of the transcript. And we talked about its implications. Was it a quid pro quo? Was the quid pro quo for getting Biden or for generalized concerns about Ukrainian corruption? Right? And then President Trump continued to withhold the military aid all the way until September 11th. On September 9th, the existence of a whistleblower complaint was made known to Congress, although Adam Schiff apparently already knew about the whistleblower complaint, knew the details, and had started tweeting out those details in the middle of August. So it's all a mess, is the short story. Okay, well, today, three House Democrats, Ellie Dangle, who's the chairman of the House Committee on Foreign Affairs, Adam Schiff, who's chairman of the House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence and a doof of the highest order, and Elijah Cummings, the chairman of the House Committee on Oversight and Reform, they released a letter that was really directed for public consumption. And in the letter, they basically suggest that they now have evidence that there is a quid pro quo to get Biden, which would be an impeachable offense, presumably. And they say, we are writing to convey our grave concerns with the unprecedented actions of President Donald Trump and his administration with respect to the House of Representatives impeachment inquiry. The president and his aides are engaging in a campaign of misinformation and misdirection in an attempt to normalize the act of soliciting foreign powers to interfere in our elections. Now, we should stop there and explain that they're very upset that Trump was asking various governments to investigate Biden or for information on Biden. Should note a couple things. One, Hillary Clinton apparently was working with the Ukrainian government in 2016 in order to dig up dirt on Manafort and Trump. Two, the Obama administration was coordinating with the Ukrainians in early 2016 to go after Paul Manafort. Was that to go after Trump or was that just to go after corruption? Unclear. So those are the facts. And then the question becomes, okay, well, was Trump going after corruption or was he engaging in a quid pro quo in order to get Biden? According to these Democrats, they say, we have now seen the summary of the call in which President Trump repeatedly urged the Ukrainian president to launch an investigation into former VP Joe Biden, immediately after the Ukrainian president mentioned critical U.S. military assistance to counter Russian aggression. The president claims he did nothing wrong. Even more astonishing, he is now openly and publicly asking another foreign power, China, to launch its own sham investigation against the Bidens to further his own political aims. Again, that's not a quid pro quo. That's called Trump mouthing off. Trump does it frequently. So when we see tape of Trump on the South Lawn telling the Chinese to investigate Biden, this sounds a lot more to me like Trump mouthing off on Twitter about how he wants the DOJ to investigate Netflix, about how he wants the Justice Department to look into Saturday Night Live, than it does like President Trump offering a quid pro quo to the Chinese to go after Joe Biden. Is it good? No. Is it ugly? Yes. Is it something the president should be doing? No. Is it impeachable? No. Here's Trump doing that yesterday.
If they were honest about it, they'd start a major investigation into the Biden.
It's a very simple answer. They should investigate the Bidens, because how does a company that's newly formed, and all these companies, if you look at, and by the way, likewise, China should start an investigation into the Bidens, because what happened in China is just about as bad as what happened with Ukraine.
Yeah, well, what Trump is referring to there is the fact that the Hunter Biden-led hedge funds, there was a hedge fund that was created by Hunter Biden as well as John Kerry's son-in-law, and they went to China, and they received the go-ahead basically from the Chinese government for Chinese investors to invest with that fund. Now, it was not the Chinese government directly investing, but is it likely that this startup fund, which had virtually no experience, would have raised a bajillion dollars in capital if Hunter Biden were unrelated to Joe Biden and if John Kerry's son-in-law were unrelated to John Kerry? Highly, highly implausible. Highly implausible. So, you know, that is not an idle worry for President Trump. However, should you be asking a Chinese communist fascist government to investigate your political opponents? No, they didn't commit a crime in China. They didn't even commit a crime in the United States. Maybe it should be a crime for various members of politicians' families to take advantage of their name to make money, but it ain't. Okay, with all of that said, back to this Democratic letter. So they say, over the past week, new reports have revealed that other Trump administration officials also may have been involved in the illicit efforts to get Ukrainian help for President Trump's campaign. Now, it is clear that what Trump is saying at this point, he's tweeted it out, is that he was not trying to generate momentum for his 2020 campaign. He was looking back at corruption in the 2016 campaign. And in order to analyze that claim, you have to understand what Trump thinks happened in 2016. Trump thinks that Hillary combined with the Ukrainian embassy in order to dig up dirt on him and Paul Manafort. He also, for some reason, believes that the Ukrainian government was involved in a weird effort with a firm called CrowdStrike to take Hillary Clinton's server, place it in Ukraine, and then fake Russian interference in the election. Now, that is a conspiracy theory without any shred of support. Okay, but the question is, does this kind of quid pro quo require intent? Meaning, is that Trump doing that because he's trying to ferret out corruption and he just has a weird idea of what corruption constitutes, or is he just going after political opponents? My feeling is that when you say Ukrainian corruption to Trump, because he is a creature of instinct and not a creature of forethought, when you say that to Trump, when you say, let's say that you went to Trump and you said, I want you to look into Ukrainian corruption. My inclination is that his immediate reaction is he thinks Biden, CrowdStrike, Hillary, Obama, Yovanovitch, Burisma. And it's all just a cluster of thoughts, of random thoughts put together in his head about what constitutes corruption. And then he says, I'd like to see all of that investigated. And if it isn't, then corruption is still endemic in the Ukrainian government. Okay, now, is that him targeting political opponents? Or is that he just has a very weird idea and a wrong idea in some cases of what constitutes fighting corruption? And remember, it's a little hard to unpack this because the Obama administration wanted Manafort investigated by the Ukrainian government in the middle of the campaign. Was that them targeting Manafort because they wanted to get to Trump? Or is it that Manafort was legitimately a target of a Ukrainian investigation? Right, these are complex questions. Right, Trump, this isn't just me saying this. This is Trump himself saying this. So today, President Trump tweeted out, quote, as president, I have an obligation to end corruption, even if that means requesting the help of a foreign country or countries. It is done all the time. This has nothing to do with politics or a political campaign against the Bidens. This does have to do with their corruption. And that's going to be his case. Now, what we're going to find out is whether this was really about getting Biden or whether this was really about targeting corruption. We'll get to that question in just one moment. First, let's talk about the fact that the holidays are approaching and maybe your teeth don't look like you want them to look. Maybe you haven't worn those retainers. You remember after you had braces when you were a teenager, they said wear your retainers every night. You did it for like a year and then you never wore your retainers again and now your teeth are all misaligned. Well, this is why you need Candid Co. I'm getting that photo-ready smile ready right now with clear aligners from Candid. Candid's aligners can help straighten your teeth faster than traditional wire braces. Treatment takes just 6 months on average. An experienced orthodontist who's licensed in your state creates a custom treatment plan, then they show you a 3D preview so you can see how your teeth are going to look after you're done. Candid's aligners are comfortable, removable, completely invisible. Candid ships your aligners directly to you, so there's no hassle of going to an orthodontist's office, and Candid costs 65% less than braces. I've already been using Candid. I did their first steps. I took the molds of my teeth. You can do it easily yourself. You don't need to schlep on into an orthodontist's office and pay a fortune for it. I'm going to have that photo-ready smile ready by the holidays, and you can too. Go to CandidCO.com/Ben. Use code Ben to get $75 off. That's CandidCO.com/Ben, code Ben, for $75 off. CandidCO.com/Ben, use code Ben. So as I say, Trump himself is using the defense that I have suggested, that he was rooting out corruption. And Democrats are saying, well, why is it corruption to go after Burisma? Well, why was it corruption to go after Manafort? Like, maybe it was corrupt for the Burisma case to be dropped. Democrats today, perfect example, Democrats today are trying to claim that Ukraine has now re-engaged in investigations, and this is the other shoe to drop, is that Ukraine is finally going forward with what Trump wanted them to do. But the fact is that they are relaunching a bevy of investigations. They're coming back with a bevy of investigations. They're opening up a bunch of different investigations, including one into Burisma. It doesn't have to do with Hunter Biden or Joe Biden. It's just Burisma itself. So, you know, is that an investigation of corruption, or is that just them trying to please Trump by going after Trump's political opponents at this point? I see the plausible theory on the part of Democrats. I do. I see how you can interpret the evidence this way. I'm not going to pretend that that is completely ridiculous or unthinkable. At the same time, I am going to point out that there's a perfectly plausible alternative theory, which is that Trump perceives corruption to be anything he doesn't like. And thus, when he says investigate corruption to Rudy Giuliani, and Giuliani then goes off on Biden, that that's just a facet of overall corruption. It wasn't about Biden specifically, but Biden was an element of it. It was do all of these things. And as we'll see in just a few moments when we go through the text messages support both theories. Now, the problem is that Republicans seem unwilling to put forward the alternative theory, because that alternative theory does require one additional step, which is that Trump doesn't actually know much about Ukraine, and that he says ill-advised, stupid things on a fairly regular basis, and that this was not some sort of grand plan to root out corruption. He reads a lot of stuff on InfoWars, and when he thinks of Ukrainian corruption, that's what goes through his head, and then he just blurts that stuff out. That's the other part of the theory, because you have to answer why it is that rooting out Ukrainian corruption includes all of these weird CrowdStrike Biden things. What if the answer is that Trump thinks that is rooting out corruption? He's just wrong. Or what if this isn't an act of genius? It's just an act of Trump. And, you know, there's force majeure in contracts, acts of God. There should be force Trump. And there's just acts of Trump. And this one falls under the category of acts of Trump, if you want to be accurate about it. We'll get into all of that in just a few minutes. First, in just a moment, we're going to be speaking with Dr. David McAreth. It is a shocking story out of the UK. He's a doctor who works for the National Health Service. He's employed by the National Health Service, and he was offering care, but he refused to call transgender patients by their preferred pronouns. He's being polite, but he says that's not biological. Also, I'm a Christian, so I'm not going to do that. He was fired by the NHS. Not only that, the Employment Tribunal then ruled that if you quote Genesis 1:27, saying male and female, he created them, that that is incompatible with human dignity. The Bible is now incompatible with human dignity, an unbelievable ruling out of Great Britain. That sort of logic will be brought to the United States sooner rather than later. You're listening to The Ben Shapiro Show.
If you can't seem to stay ahead of your bills, then this message is for you. How would you like to have a large portion of your credit card debt, medical bills, and department store debt forgiven? National Credit Card Relief would like to give you free information on a proven debt forgiveness program. This program has been used by thousands to legally forgive millions in unsecured debt. It's not bankruptcy. It's not consolidation. This special program actually wipes clean the portion of your debt that is forgiven from what you owe your creditors. Call for free information and get all your questions answered in the first free call. The more you owe, the more you can save. If you have at least $10,000 or more in credit card bills, this debt forgiveness program can be very effective. Call for free information and find out more now. 800-291-6670. There is no cost or obligation for the information. Don't wait. Call 800-291-6670. That's 800-291-6670. Get your debt problem solved. Call 800-291-6670 today. Not available in North Dakota.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Jen London with A Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. It's a free service, and we've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad.
There's a place for answers, a place for mom. Call today.
Call a place for mom at 1-800-391-1755. That's 1-800-391-1755.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Make a healthy choice about the air you breathe. Start with the Wave Smart Ventilation Unit to expel the polluted damp air from your basement and crawl space. Then add upstairs a hospital-grade 6-stage air purifier, which includes a HEPA filter and a powerful dual UV system. Stop worrying about mold, odors, radon, carbon monoxide, chemicals, and hundreds of other pollutants that are trapped in your home. Visit dryhome123.com and learn how to make your home healthier and fresher all year round. That's dryhome123.com.
On Westwood One Podcast Network.
October 23rd, 2017. This is where the day started. Stefano had been trying to get sober for a while. He'd been struggling with his addiction for 10 years. Around 2009, he started on prescription drugs, painkillers. He was working for a pharmaceutical company, which is convenient.
For those of us left behind, you're constantly trying to find out, what could I have done differently?
This is Last Day. Subscribe today wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, and welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Okay, joining us on the line is Dr. David Mackworth. He is a Christian from Birmingham, UK, and he had been an accident and emergency doctor for 26 years until he lost his job with the UK's Department for Work and Pensions. Why? Well, he refused to identify clients by their chosen gender instead of their biological sex because he is a doctor. He said that using transgender pronouns went against his conscience as a doctor and as a Bible-believing Christian. And so it was then ruled that it was actually violative of the law for him to believe in the Bible. Joining us on the line right now is Dr. David Mackworth. Thanks so much for joining the show, Doctor.
It's great to speak to you, Ben.
So why don't you explain exactly what went down here? How did this whole situation arise?
Yes, the situation arose. I took a job with the Department for Work and Pensions, which is a government department, doing disability assessments on clients, on people who came in with various disabilities. And during the training, it came up that people came in requesting the use of pronouns in a transgender way. When we asked the trainer whether we could question this, we were told we don't question this. We just use whatever pronoun the client chooses or wants. And I said that as a Christian, I couldn't do this in good conscience. This led to further questioning and my eventual sacking.
Well, let me ask you about why you decided to make the case that you weren't going to do it based on Christian belief. Why not just suggest that in your medical opinion, male is male, female is female, you're a doctor, you don't treat what's in people's minds and perceptions of self. What you do is you treat people's bodies. So if you walk in and you are a female, physically speaking, you're going to treat them as a female. Why did you feel the need to cite Bible belief as sort of a defense to science?
There's two answers for that. First of all, clearly to me, it is entirely unscientific to argue that a person could change sex. There's not a doctor in the world that can prove that a person can change sex. But from a Christian point of view, as a matter of conscience, not only would I be doing something that I deem to be dishonest, but that would be for me something that which affected my Christian faith very deeply, affected my walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. But I'd also argue that if we only use scientific arguments because of the prevailing relativistic worldview, which says that everything is true, which is clearly nonsense, that science alone isn't strong enough. So it's important to me to make a statement both as a Christian and as a doctor who's studied medical science, that on both of these counts, I find it impossible to use pronouns in that way.
Presuming Dr. David Mackworth, who is fired, he was fired from his job with the UK government for refusing to identify clients by their chosen gender. Now, doctor, you weren't trying to offend transgender clients. You were being polite with them. You just would not refer to them by a non-biological pronoun. Is that correct?
That is correct. As Christians, we're called to love everybody. We love these people, but we don't consider it loving to lie to people. And in essence, there's a difference between them saying to me, I want you to call, use the pronoun, and me being forced to use it against my conscience.
Well, what we call compelled speech. Well, let me ask you, so the ruling came down, and the employment tribunal basically said that if you are Christian, you are simply not allowed to work for the government, effectively speaking. They said that Genesis 1:27 is incompatible with human dignity. Is that the proper phraseology they used?
This is the phraseology they used. I'm still shocked at the depth and the extent and the scope of the tribunal's findings, the judge's ruling. This clearly doesn't just affect Christians. It affects everybody, whatever their beliefs, because it seems to preclude freedom of speech, saying that everybody now has to believe transgenderism or transgender doctrine to be true. And I just can't go along with that.
I mean, it is an astonishing, astonishing contention. I mean, this effectively means that freedom of religion no longer exists in Britain when it comes to any sort of employment, because aren't there laws in Britain that also prevent so-called discrimination even in the private sector? So it's not just a matter of you working for the government. If you were working in private practice as a doctor and you pursued exactly the same policies, couldn't that person then sue you under British law?
Well, I'm not a legal expert, but I understand this ruling is very significant. I mean, I can put it like this. I'm a Christian, but I work with many Muslim doctors, and we all work together very well. There's no conflict, but now there is a conflict. Transgenderism is being pushed for the strength of A, religion, and B, a religion that we all have to believe or lose our jobs.
I mean, it really is unbelievable stuff. Dr. David Meckreth, how can we help you? Because you're represented by the Christian Legal Center. You've appealed this already to presumably the highest court, but where does the case go from here?
Well, okay, we're going to keep fighting this. We think it's a really important battle. There are several levels. We think this affects everybody, so we're not just fighting for ourselves. And I'd say the people I work with, many of them have said they're very supportive, although they don't agree with my Christian convictions, they still see the issues and see that it affects them. So we're going to take this forward. We're going to appeal. If we lose the appeal, we'll take it to the next court, and we'll take it from there. But this is a battle we cannot afford not to fight. We need to be free to do our work in this country without being forced to believe transgender doctrine.
Dr. David Meckreth, thank you so much for joining the program, and thank you for fighting what is a really important fight and one that will, I'm sure, come to the United States sooner rather than later. Dr. Meckreth, appreciate your time.
Thank you very much.
Well, coming up, we're going to continue going through all of this material, these text messages, the Ukraine quasi-scandal. What are the competing theories? We'll get into it. This is The Ben Shapiro Show.
Learn more about our shows and hosts. Check us out online at kcnr1460.com. KCNR, Shasta, Redding.
There's something to be said about longevity in the service industry. And in the business of solar, one company comes to mind. Powerhouse Solar, serving Redding and the North State since 2003. At Powerhouse Solar, we're experts in solar power systems, off-grid, and hybrid systems. If you've been considering solar for your home, your pool, an off-grid, or hybrid system, there's only one name to remember. Powerhouse. Powerhouse Solar. In Redding, call 275-5600. And see more at powerhousesolar.com. Orchard Nutrition Center presents the Healthy Living Expo, November 2nd, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. at the Red Lion Hotel. There'll be free samples, information, and education all dedicated to your health, and it's free admission. Come check out the dozens and dozens of booths, plus free educational talks in the Sundial Room with expert guest speakers all dedicated to your health. So make plans to bring your family to the Healthy Living Expo, November 2nd, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. at the Red Lion Hotel. Brought to you by Orchard Nutrition Center.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank.
fivestarbank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
KCNR is proud to announce that we are now live at 96.5 FM, as well as online, and as always, heard on 1460 AM. Weekday mornings, wake up with the Sue McClain News Hour, followed by Free Fire Radio, your talk radio station at the epicenter of change in downtown Reading. 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, the conscience of the nation. Noon to 3, find your financial peace with Dave Ramsey. 3 to 6, the hard-hitting constitutional expert, Mark Levin. Monday through Thursdays at 6 p.m., local shows feature everything from the paranormal to pop culture to unsung heroes of our area. 7 to 9, Ben Shapiro with an expanded program that brings the issues of the day to your radio. And finish your weekday with the Chris Plant Show, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. KCNR, now on 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, and always online. More than ever, we're your locally owned, community-connected talk radio.
Hi, this is Linda Bott, and let me tell you about our North State Now show on Thursday nights at 6 p.m. right here on KCNR. The first Thursday of the month will be yours truly, covering arts and entertainment and all kinds of fun stuff. The second Thursday will be Michelle Slade, highlighting and interviewing North State heroes. The third Thursday is James Masada and Rhonda Alvey, bringing you all things with Enjoy the Magazine and Enjoy the Store. And the fourth Thursday from Shasta Regional Medical Center is Dr. Orna Gill, covering all things women's health. The title sponsor for North State Now is the Reading Civic Auditorium, also brought to you by the Black Bear Diner, Shasta Regional Medical Center, and Carlene's Restaurant and Bar, located at 1100 Center Street. That's North State Now, right here on KCNR, 96.5 FM, and 1460 AM. 6 p.m., North State Now.
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearm specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts with two full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard-to-find ammo. 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years' experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
While serving in Iraq, Sergeant Jason Nielsen suffered a paralyzing injury. Paralyzed Veterans of America's service officers are trained to help injured veterans get all the benefits they've earned. To help paralyzed veterans, visit pva.org.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So, here's what we know about the Trump conduct with regard to Ukraine and China. Bad. The question is whether it's criminal. So, no, you should not be asking foreign governments to investigate American citizens. You shouldn't be asking the Chinese government to investigate American citizens. If you want to initiate an investigation, we have a law enforcement arm here in the United States. And so let's just start with that. Bad. Now the question is, impeachable? Criminal? Unclear. So Trump's defense is no longer that there was no quid pro quo with Ukraine. His defense is there was no quid pro quo with Ukraine with regard to an investigation into Joe Biden specifically. In fact, his contention, he made it perfectly clear today on Twitter, is that he was trying to set up a quid pro quo with the Ukrainians to stamp out corruption. It's not me saying this. This is Trump saying this. Right? He says, as president, I have an obligation to end corruption, even if that means requesting the help of a foreign country or countries. It is done all the time. This has nothing to do with politics or a political campaign against the Bidens. This does have to do with their corruption. So he's going to claim that it's not a specific attempt to take out Biden. Rather, it is aligned with a generalized attempt to root out corruption. And President Trump has been spending his time today watching Fox News and tweeting out quotes. He says, when you're making an unsubstantiated statement that the president is making a claim having to do with quid pro quo, this witness has put a big hole into that argument. The ambassador put a dagger in the heart of Schiff's fairy tale, and he's quoting Representative Lee Zeldin on that. Okay, so what is that a reference to? That's a reference to the testimony of Ambassador Kurt Volker, who gave a statement before the House of Representatives Committee on Foreign Affairs, Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence, and Committee on Oversight. And Volker said this. He said, "Allow me to begin by stressing that you and the American people can be reassured and proud that the Department of State and Department of Defense and the professionals working there have conducted themselves with the highest degree of professionalism, integrity, and dedication to the national interest." He says, "In carrying out my role, I at some point found myself faced with the choice to be aware of a problem and to ignore it, or to accept that it was a responsibility to fix it. I would not have been true to myself, my duties, or my commitment to the people of the United States or Ukraine if I did not dive in and try to fix problems as best I could." He says there are 5 points he wants to make. He says, first, my efforts were entirely focused on advancing U.S. foreign policy goals with respect to Ukraine. He talks about supporting Ukraine against the aggression of Russia and keeping the sanctions on Russia and working closely with the Ukrainian government. He says, second, in May of this year, I became concerned that a negative narrative about Ukraine, fueled by assertions made by Ukraine's departing prosecutor general, was reaching the president of the United States and impeding our ability to support the new Ukrainian government as robustly as I believed we should. He says that he told Rudy Giuliani that he thought this was ill-advised, and he fixed up Giuliani with an advisor to President Zelensky. He says, I did so solely because I understood that the new Ukrainian leadership wanted to convince those like Mayor Giuliani, who believed such a negative narrative about Ukraine, that times have changed, and that under President Zelensky, Ukraine is worthy of U.S. support. He said, I also made it clear to the Ukrainians on a number of occasions that Giuliani is a private citizen and the president's personal lawyer. So he wasn't an agent of the State Department, in other words. And he says, I was trying to convince Rudy to back off all of this Burisma-Biden stuff. He says, third, at no time was I aware of or took part in an effort to urge Ukraine to investigate former Vice President Biden. He says, as you will see from the extensive text messages I am providing, which convey a sense of real-time dialogue with several different actors, Vice President Biden was never a topic of discussion. He says, moreover, as I was aware of public accusations about the vice president, several times I cautioned the Ukrainians to distinguish between the highlighting of their own efforts to fight corruption domestically, including investigating Ukrainian individuals, and doing anything that could be seen as impacting U.S. elections. He says he did not listen in on the phone call between Trump and Zelensky, nor was he aware that Biden's name was mentioned. He says he also briefed the State Department and National Security Council and Congress about his actions. He says, I strongly supported the provision of U.S. security assistance, including lethal defensive weapons to Ukraine, throughout my tenure. He says, I became aware of a hold on congressional notifications about proceeding with that assistance on July 18, 2019, and immediately tried to weigh in to reverse that position. He said, as I was confident the position would not stand, I did not discuss the hold with my Ukrainian counterparts. And then he talks about his contacts with Mayor Giuliani. So Democrats have claimed that basically the Trump administration was acting as a cat's paw for the Trump campaign, led by Rudy Giuliani. The Trump administration was doing the campaign's dirty work by asking the Ukrainians to get together with Rudy Giuliani and then to investigate Joe Biden. Volker says, in the early months of 2019, I was aware of an emerging negative narrative about Ukraine in the U.S., fueled by accusations made by the then prosecutor general of Ukraine, Yuri Lutsenko, that some Ukrainian citizens may have sought to influence the 2016 presidential election, including by passing information they hoped would reach the Hillary Clinton campaign that was detrimental to the Donald Trump campaign. There was a second narrative, also fueled by the then prosecutor general, that the company Burisma had sought to garner influence with then Vice President Biden by paying high fees to his son Hunter. Lutsenko made these allegations in conversations with U.S. media, which gave them wide circulation, particularly among conservative media viewers. Well, Volker says, I was well aware of the situation in Ukraine. I'd met Lutsenko once. Ukraine has a well-deserved reputation for rampant corruption. Nonetheless, I believe that these accusations were themselves self-serving and were intended to make himself appear valuable to the U.S., so the U.S. might weigh in against him being removed. In addition, I have known Vice President Biden for 24 years. The suggestion that he'd be influenced in his duties as VP by money for his son simply has no credibility to me. So Volker is defending Biden. He says, in May 2019, I learned that New York Mayor Giuliani planned to travel to Ukraine to look into these accusations. I reached out to brief him before his visit, specifically to tell him that Lutsenko is not credible and would be replaced once a new government took office. We had a brief phone call, which ended as Giuliani needed to attend another meeting or call. He says, I texted afterward to offer to finish the conversation, but we did not speak again at that time. I later read that he canceled his trip and he asserted that the president-elect Zelensky was surrounded by enemies of the U.S., something with which I fundamentally disagreed. He says he visited Ukraine along with U.S. presidential delegation. He says during meetings, nothing came up about the Lutsenko accusations. He says they also met with President Trump on May 23rd, and he said that they urged working with Zelensky. He said the president was very skeptical. Given Ukraine's history of corruption, that is understandable. He said that that Ukraine was a corrupt country full of terrible people. He said they tried to take me down. In the course of that conversation, he referenced conversations with Giuliani. It was clear to me that despite the positive news and recommendations being conveyed by this official delegation about the new president, Trump had a deeply rooted negative view on Ukraine rooted in the past. He was clearly receiving other information from other sources, including Giuliani, that was more negative, causing him to retain this negative view. He says, in the weeks that followed, we tried to peg down a date for a meet between Trump and Ukraine. He said, I continue to believe that once the two presidents actually sat down together, Trump would quickly conclude that Zelensky is sincere in his commitment to reforming Ukraine. He says, it was clear to me we had a growing problem in the negative narrative about Ukraine built on those earlier accusations by Lutsenko that was impeding the development of our bilateral relationship and strengthening support for Ukraine. I therefore faced a choice, do nothing and allow the situation to fester or try to fix it. I tried to fix it. He said, in order to try and fix it, he hooked up Giuliani, who obviously had Trump's ear, with Zelensky's team. At the breakfast, Giuliani was accompanied. So there was a breakfast that happened between Zelensky, Andrei Yermak, and Giuliani. He says, at that breakfast, Giuliani was accompanied by a Ukrainian-American businessman named Lev Parnas. He said, we had a long conversation about Ukraine. To my surprise, Giuliani had already come to the conclusion on his own that Lutsenko was not credible and acting in a self-serving capacity. He mentioned both the accusations about Biden and about interference in the 2016 election and stressed all he wanted to see was for Ukraine to investigate what happened in the past and apply its own laws. To which this ambassador, this envoy, Volker, said, sounds great. He said, concerning the allegations, I stressed that no one in the new team governing Ukraine had anything to do with anything that may have happened in 2016. He said it was not credible to him that Vice President Biden would have been influenced on these issues. He said he connected Yermak and Giuliani on all of this. He said Giuliani followed up with him later and said that he wanted the Ukrainian president to make a statement about fighting corruption. And Volker says the Ukrainian government was warm with all of that. He says on August 16th, Yermak, who's the assistant to the Ukrainian president, shared a draft of this statement. It did not mention Burisma or the 2016 elections, but was generic. It says, I conveyed this to Ambassador Sondland, who is the ambassador to the EU, who agreed that it was an excellent statement. We had a further conversation with Giuliani, who said in his view the statement should include specific reference to Burisma in 2016. Again, no mention of Biden. They edited the draft statement. They added this stuff. He said, it is bad enough that accusations have been made about 2016. It is essential that Ukraine not be involved in anything relating to 2020. He says that this was agreed to by the Ukrainians. He says that that point, that Ukraine should not involve itself in the election, was reiterated over and over by American officials. And he talks about his further dealings with American members of the administration. And then he talks about U.S. security assistance. He said the issue of a hold placed on security assistance to Ukraine came up at the time that he was dealing with Yermak and Giuliani. He said, I did not perceive these issues to be linked in any way. He said he didn't know why the security was being held up. He said he wasn't present on the July 25th phone call. So this statement helps Volker. It does not actually help Trump in any significant way. What this whole thing is going to come down to is, can Trump credibly claim that he was attempting to fight corruption even if he was doing so wrongheadedly, or was he actually just using that as a cover to be irritated about Biden? We're about to find out, and Giuliani is going to be called. That is where things currently stand. We'll get to more of this in just one second. First, I need to take a moment to remind you there's a whole other world to this radio show over at DailyWire.com. You ever miss an opportunity to listen to The Ben Shapiro Show? Don't let it happen again. Stop that. Head on over to DailyWire.com. You can watch all 3 hours of this show when you become a subscriber. Your life will be vastly enriched by the ability to see every detail on the show, from relevant news clips and photos to this astonishingly handsome face. Not only do you get my show, you'll be able to hear from prominent conservatives like Andrew Klavan and Matt Walsh. You'll also get Michael Knowles. The entire Daily Wire team has its finger on the pulse of the conservative movement and will keep you educated and informed on the most newsworthy stories of the day. So don't wait any longer. Head on over to DailyWire.com, become a subscriber for just $9.99 a month or $99 a year. Be sure to also check out the new Daily Wire store on Amazon. Stock up on official Daily Wire hoodies, t-shirts, sweaters, and more. That is DailyWire.com. Become a subscriber. Join tens of thousands of fans in supporting the largest conservative podcast in the United States. As I say, the Volcker testimony suggests that he was not trying to act as a go-between to foster the Biden stuff. And then there are the text messages that are supplied by Democrats. There are three specific text exchanges that they are honing in on. I don't think they say quite what the Democrats are claiming they say. One is from Volcker. This one is to Andrei Yermak, that assistant to the Ukrainian president, says, good lunch, thanks. Heard from White House. Assuming President Zelensky convinces Trump he will investigate, get to the bottom of what happened in 2016, we'll nail down a visit for Washington. Good luck. See you tomorrow. Democrats are trying to say that's the quid pro quo. This is about Biden. So Biden doesn't get mentioned. Then there is the exchange that basically suggests that the Ukrainians were going to have to write a statement that mentioned Burisma as well as the 2016 election. Even that does not actively mention Biden. Volcker says special attention should be paid to the problem of interference in the political processes of the United States, especially with the alleged involvement of some Ukrainian politicians. I want to declare this is unacceptable. So that the same statement that Democrats are trying to use as evidence that Ukraine was injecting itself into American politics at Trump's behest was supposed to contain a statement about how Ukraine did not want to inject itself into American politics. And then finally, there is one more exchange that the Democrats are honing in on, and that's an exchange including one Bill Taylor, the temporary ambassador to Ukraine, in which Bill Taylor said, I think it's crazy to withhold security assistance for help with the political campaign. Gordon Sondland said, Bill, I believe you're incorrect about the president's intentions. The president has been crystal clear, no quid pro quos of any kind. The president is trying to evaluate whether Ukraine is truly going to adopt the transparency and reforms Zelensky promised during his campaign. Okay, so what we have here is two plausible reads on a situation, as I've been saying all day. Plausible read number one, Trump wanted to go after Biden. All of this corruption talk is just an excuse to go after Biden. That's plausible read number one. It is made more plausible by the fact that the president asked the Chinese to investigate Joe Biden. And that's made a little bit more plausible on those grounds. Then there is the second plausible explanation, which is that when you say Ukrainian corruption to Trump, he just flashes back to everything that he's ever read at The Hill or InfoWars or Breitbart or seen on Fox News. And then he balls it all up into one wax ball and throws it at the wall and says, I want all this stuff investigated, including Joe Biden. Now, that sounds a lot like Trump. These are both plausible. The only way we're going to find out what the truth is if there is some sort of statement by Rudy Giuliani under oath about whether his sole goal was to track down corruption in Ukraine, including 2016 and including Burisma, or whether his sole goal was to get Joe Biden. And Giuliani testifies that they were never getting that aid, they were never getting that presidential visit without making some overt moves toward investigating Joe Biden. All righty. Coming up, you know, it's been a very stressful week. So I think it's time for a little relaxation. We're going to do Uncle Ben's SJW story time. We explore a children's piece of literature for proper woke messaging. Today we have a classic to go through. This is The Ben Shapiro Show.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Jen London with A Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. It's a free service, and we've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad. There's a place for answers, A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-391-1755. That's 1-800-391-1755.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Make a healthy choice about the air you breathe. Start with the Wave Smart Ventilation Unit to expel the polluted damp air from your basement and crawl space. Then add upstairs a hospital-grade 6-stage air purifier, which includes a HEPA filter and a powerful dual UV system. Stop worrying about mold, odors, radon, carbon monoxide, chemicals, and hundreds of other pollutants that are trapped in your home. Visit dryhome123.com and learn how to make your home healthier and fresher all year round. That's dryhome123.com.
On Westwood One Podcast Network.
October 23rd, 2017. This is where the day started. Stefano had been trying to get sober for a while. He'd been struggling with his addiction for 10 years. Around 2009, he started on prescription drugs, painkillers. He was working for a pharmaceutical company, which is convenient.
For those of us left behind, you're constantly trying to find out, what could I have done differently?
This is Last Day. Subscribe today wherever you get your podcasts.
If you can't seem to stay ahead of your bills, then this message is for you. How would you like to have a large portion of your credit card debt, medical bills, and department store debt forgiven? National Credit Card Relief would like to give you free information on a proven debt forgiveness program. This program has been used by thousands to legally forgive millions in unsecured debt. It's not bankruptcy. It's not consolidation. This special program actually wipes clean the portion of your debt that is forgiven from what you owe your creditors. Call for free information and get all your questions answered in the first free call. The more you owe, the more you can save. If you have at least $10,000 or more in credit card bills, this debt forgiveness program can be very effective. Call for free information and find out more now. 800-291-6670. There is no cost or obligation for the information. Don't wait. Call 800-291-6670. That's 800-291-6670. Get your debt problem solved. Call 800-291-6670 today. Not available in North Dakota.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Well, it's been a very stressful week, right? I mean, there's been a lot going on this week. And that's why I think that we ought to take a little break as we go into the weekend. And that, of course, is Uncle Ben's SJW Storytime. Now, for those who don't know what Uncle Ben's SJW Storytime is, every week or every other week, we take a children's book and we analyze it for the proper social justice warrior woke scold messages. And we make sure that your kids are learning only the best in leftist ideology. So, with that said, today, it's time for Uncle Ben's SJW Storytime. Today's work by Marcus Fisser as a classic, Rainbow Fish. There we go, man. A long way out in the deep blue sea, there lived a fish. Not just an ordinary fish, but the most beautiful fish in the entire ocean. His scales were every shade of blue and green and purple, with sparkling silver scales among them. What a beautiful fish. The other fish were amazed at his beauty. They called him Rainbow Fish. Come on, Rainbow Fish, they would call. Come and play with us. But the Rainbow Fish would just glide past, proud and silent, letting his scales shimmer. Like a capitalist pig, letting them suffer in the refuse of not having any shiny scales. As you'll see, that's where this book is going, guys. One day, a little blue fish followed after him. Rainbow Fish, he called, wait for me. Please give me one of your shiny scales. They are so wonderful, and you have so many. Now, does the little blue fish have a claim on Rainbow Fish? The answer is no. I mean, actually, biologically, the scales are kind of attached to the fish. But, as we'll see, the message of the book is going to be that Rainbow Fish needs to become a commie. You want me to give you one of my special scales? Who do you think you are? Cried the Rainbow Fish. Get away from me. Fair response, when he's asking for a surgical procedure to remove a scale. Shocked, the little blue fish swam away. He was so upset, he told all his friends what had happened. From then on, no one would have anything to do with the Rainbow Fish. They turned away when he swam by. Ah, the revolution of the proletariat fish against the brutal capitalism of Rainbow Fish. What good were the dazzling, shimmering scales with no one to admire them? Now he was the loneliest fish in the entire ocean because they're trying to scold him into giving up what he has just because they want it. One day, he poured out his troubles to the starfish. I really am beautiful. Why doesn't anyone like me? I can't answer that for you, said the starfish, but if you go beyond the coral reef to a deep cave, you'll find the wise octopus. Maybe she can help you. The rainbow fish found the cave. It was very dark inside. He couldn't see anything. Then, suddenly, two eyes caught him in their glare, and the octopus emerged from the darkness. I have been waiting for you, said the octopus with a deep voice. The waves have told me your story. This is my advice. Give a glittering scale to each of the other fish. Yeah, there's a commie book right here. You will no longer be the most beautiful fish in the sea, but you will discover how to be happy. Don't you see? If you give up all your natural qualities, and you make yourself into an interchangeable widget with the other fish, by just giving them stuff from each according to his scales to each according to his need of scales, then true happiness will flourish in your heart. I can't, the rainbow fish started to say, but the octopus had already disappeared into a dark cloud of ink. Give away my scales? My beautiful shining scales? Never! How could I ever be happy without them? Suddenly he felt the light touch of a fin. The little blue fish was back. This schwab. Rainbow fish, please don't be angry. I just want one little scale. Yeah, you're literally begging for the skin off his back. And if he says no, then you're righteous? Like, I'm confused by the logic here that we're trying to teach to children. It's like the little blue fish good. So if I go to school and some kid has a nicer pair of shoes and I walk up to the kid, I'm like, give me your shoes. And the kid says, no, my shoes. I'm the good guy? How? The rainbow fish wavered. Only one very, very small shimmery scale, he thought. Well, maybe I wouldn't miss just one. See, we're about to learn the slippery slope of progressive taxation right here, kids. Because it turns out, rainbow fish gives away one shiny scale, then changes rep. He has to give away all of them. Carefully, the rainbow fish pulled out the smallest scale and gave it to the little fish. Thank you very much. The little blue fish bubbled playfully as he tucked the shiny scale in among his blue ones. A rather peculiar feeling came over the rainbow fish. For a long time, he watched the little blue fish swim back and forth with his new scale glittering in the water. The little blue fish whizzed through the ocean with his scale flashing, so it didn't take long before the rainbow fish was surrounded by the other fish. Everyone wanted a glittering scale. Now, normally you'd say, right, because when you start honing in on the font of all wealth and then sucking it dry, there are going to be a lot of people who are there for this. A couple of weeks ago, we did the Little Red Hen story where people who did not eat, people who did not work, did not eat. This is the opposite. My little red hen has all the bread and won't give the bread because nobody did the work. Rainbow fish is being inundated by people, by fish, who are trying to take his various scales, right? And he's supposed to do it. The rainbow fish shared his scales left and right. The more he gave away, the more delighted he became. When the water around him filled with glimmering scales, he at last felt at home among the other.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal Housing Lender, member FDIC.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Gordon Griffin. House Democrats have issued a subpoena to the White House for documents relating to the impeachment inquiry into the president's dealings with Ukraine officials. Here's correspondent Jackie Quinn, who files this report.
Even before the subpoena was sent, President Trump had signaled his administration would not cooperate. Trump, trying to force a showdown among House Democrats, is demanding a formal vote in Congress. But the subpoena was being sent with a letter that said Speaker Pelosi has confirmed an impeachment inquiry is underway, and it is not for the White House to say otherwise. Democrats warned the president defying their subpoena would be considered evidence of obstruction. The impeachment inquiry centers on Trump's request that Ukraine's president look for political dirt against former Vice President Joe Biden and his son. Jackie Quinn, Washington.
Meanwhile, President Trump tells reporters that his calls for investigating Joe Biden were not about politics.
There is no pro quo. And that was the text message that I saw, and that nullified everything.
Good news on the unemployment front. The unemployment rate dropped to a 50-year low of 3.5% in September.
We actually had a few more people looking for work in September than we did in August, so that's a good sign. That indicates that people continue to move into the labor market. And then we also had job gains over the month. So, I think this is indicative of a good, solid job market.
PNC Financial Services Group Chief Economist Gus Fauché. Bernie Sanders says he's feeling much better after having a heart attack and being released from a hospital. Sanders posted a video on Twitter in which he is seen smiling and standing with his wife in a Las Vegas park. Sanders signed off by saying, "See you soon on the campaign trail." More on these stories at townhall.com.
Sebastian Gorka here for Relief Factor, the 100% drug-free supplement that was formulated by doctors to help your body deal with inflammation and pain. The reason I've told so many of my friends about the 3-week quick start is because as we get older, occasional aches and pains can be a real problem, keeping you from sleeping through the night or doing the things you love and need to do, like taking walks or playing golf, going up or downstairs, or simply playing with your kids or grandkids. Tens of thousands are now like me, glad they ordered the 3-week quick start for just $19.95. After years of back pain, I found relief, and I believe you could too. Folks, this is why the father and son owners of Relief Factor, Pete and Seth Talbot, created the 3-week quick start, and they discounted it to only $19.95. Approximately 70% of those who order it go on to order more. Let's see if we can get you out of pain too. Go to relieffactor.com, relieffactor.com, or call 800-500-8384.
Hewlett-Packard's new chief executive officer has unveiled the company's latest plan to streamline its operations, one that envisions cutting its workforce by as much as 16% over the next 3 years.
The personal computer and printer maker says it expects to drop 7,000 to 9,000 people from its global workforce of about 55,000 by 2020. It expects the moves to save it about $1 billion a year by the end of its 2022 fiscal year. The workforce reductions come as the Palo Alto, California company wraps up a 3-year restructuring plan that included the elimination of up to 5,000 jobs.
That's correspondent Jeremy House reporting. HP announced the job cuts at a meeting with Wall Street analysts, headlined by incoming CEO Enrique Lores. He'd been overseeing the HP division that includes its profitable business of selling ink for the company's printers before being named to the top job last month. News and analysis at townhall.com. The Coast Guard is loosening its tattoo policy.
The Virginian pilot reports the change announced Thursday is intended to help boost recruiting and comes after other branches of the military have moved to allow more tattoos. The Coast Guard currently doesn't limit the number of tattoos, but restricts where on the body they can be. The new rules will allow a single tattoo on each hand with certain restrictions. They'll also allow a tattoo on a single finger on each hand, excluding thumbs, as well as chest tattoos, as long as they don't go past the collar of a dress uniform crew neck T-shirt. Keith Peters reporting.
Western governors are disappointed that the U.S. Department of Energy did not consult their state's nuclear waste experts before releasing a 5-year plan for a nuclear waste facility in New Mexico. The Western Governors Association, in a September 30 letter to the Energy Department, said the plan released in August for the waste isolation pilot plant could have benefited with contributions from the states. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Hi, this is Linda Bott, and let me tell you about our North State Now show on Thursday nights at 6 p.m. right here on KCNR. The first Thursday of the month will be yours truly, covering arts and entertainment and all kinds of fun stuff. The second Thursday will be Michelle Slade, highlighting and interviewing North State heroes. The third Thursday is James Masada and Rhonda Alvey, bringing you all things with Enjoy the Magazine and Enjoy the Store. And the fourth Thursday from Shasta Regional Medical Center is Dr. Orna Gill covering all things women's health. The title sponsor for North State Now is the Reading Civic Auditorium. Also brought to you by the Black Bear Diner, Shasta Regional Medical Center, and Carlene's Restaurant and Bar located at 1100 Center Street. That's North State Now right here on KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. 6 p.m. North State Now.
quid pro quo, Mr. Coleman.
What's that mean?
It means I'm pretentious.
Well, quid pro Joe is all upset. Because people are finding out what he's been up to. How dare you call for an investigation of a Democrat? Don't you know that's a violation of the Constitution? You're going to destroy the Republic. This is a power grab. You can't do, you know, the stuff that we do. You can't be going around doing stuff like that. For the love of. Good Friday to you and welcome. We're at 888-630-9625. 888-630-9625. Quid pro Joe. We have him on camera. I love that. You see Judge Napolitano there yesterday? What's with that guy? There it is. You can't ask a foreigner for help during a campaign. You know, like Hillary Clinton and Christopher Steele and Russian intelligence and like the Obama administration and Joseph Mifsud and British intelligence and an Australian diplomat. And now, you can't ask foreigners for help if you're a Republican. Otherwise, you see, it's a violation of the Constitution. If you do for it's right there in, where is it, Article 7, I think, of the Constitution, that Republicans cannot ask, because none of this is in anywhere to be found, in, except in the New York Times and at CNN. It's all right if Hillary Clinton hires, well, there were buffers, you know, they're like the Corleone family. There were buffers. They had that corrupt law firm in Washington, that Perkins Coie, and then they had the Democrat, they're like a dirty trick squad law firm like that. And they hire Fusion GPS, a couple of news reporters, and then they hire, because that's how you know they're lefties, and then they hire, and then you make up stories about how, oh, the Republicans started the hunt for Russian. No. And then they hire Christopher Steele, who's a foreign secret agent with Great Britain, like James Bond. Remember, they're making him out to be James Bond, when really he's more like Hugh Grant. And that's not really, you know, Hugh Grant's arms may be skinnier than Beto O'Rourke's. See, because Beto's guns have already been confiscated. And, he's crying during a flu shot, all this good stuff. All kinds of great stuff today, updates. The president is daring, almost demanding, that Nancy Pelosi hold a vote on impeachment, because it would change everything if they were forced to hold a vote on impeachment. And it'd be fun. And he throws grenades through your windows. Since, you know, you're firing down on him with machine guns, he goes, these are metaphorical references, of course. And so he drives by and throws a grenade through the sunroof, and it goes right through your window. And, boy, this Ukraine thing just continues to percolate, and not in a good way for the Democrats, I've got to say. But the fight is on. The fight has been engaged, and President Trump is just the guy for the job. And he's demanding that Pelosi hold a vote on impeachment because, you know, they probably wouldn't get enough Democrats to vote for an impeachment inquiry. This is not for impeachment itself, just for an inquiry, and which they say they have undertaken, but the rules actually require you take a vote before you launch an inquiry, but the rules don't apply to them because CNN and the New York Times are really corrupt and they don't care, and they don't call Democrats on anything. Honestly, Joe Biden could shoot somebody in the middle of Fifth Avenue, and CNN and the New York Times would, to borrow a phrase, and CNN and the New York Times wouldn't have any problem with it at all. They'd say it was population control. Speaking of which, so many great things. Now, before I move on to AOC, there is a new story out today, and I'm still dabbling in this story, but it's fun because you see. We've got a lot of Democrat members of Congress. It turns out many of them have procreated and produced children, destroying the planet. Don't you know that what that does to your carbon footprint? Turns out Pelosi has a son named Paul Pelosi Jr., because I think his father is Paul Pelosi Sr., and he's the son of Paul Pelosi, and they named him Paul, so he's Paul Jr. And it turns out, you'll never guess, that what business he's in. What do you think business? What business do you think Paul Pelosi is in? What with global warming and the climate change and rising oceans and we're all going to die in CO2? You guessed it. He's in the oil and gas industry.
It's easy to, because they're saving the planet one barrel of oil at a time, apparently, and flying around on private corporate jets all over the place because, you know, he's an oil and gas man, just like Joe Biden's son, Hunter Biden. He's an oil and gas man. And now it turns out Nancy Pelosi's son, Paul Pelosi, is an oil and gas man, too. And it turns out that the oil and gas company that he works for does business where? Wait, hang on. Cut one guess. You got one guess? One? Ukraine. Here we go, Ukraine again. Who knew Ukraine was such a popular place? It turns out it's a piggy bank for the Democrats. Remember when it was really corrupt? That was yesterday, I think. Maybe it was earlier this morning I was watching. That Ukraine, you see, because Joe Biden was there fighting Ukraine and getting a high-paying job for his son at the same time, which is not corruption because he's a Democrat, and that's okay. Turns out Paul Pelosi, and then we had, what's his name? You know, stepson of Boltnick, of John Kerry, who's married to the widow Hines of the Hines food fortune. It's not just ketchup. It's a $1 billion fortune. And the son of, the stepson of Boltnick, of John Kerry, who married the widow of another dead senator who was really rich, John Hines. And he married the widow. It's amazing. And then Hunter Biden was dating his brother's widow. And this is really a screwed up bunch of people we've got here. And it turns out that John Kerry's stepson was also involved in some oil and gas shenanigans. Where? In Ukraine. It's amazing. And then there's, of course, Hunter Biden, who's an oil and gas tycoon, not in the United States, but in Ukraine. And now we've got Nancy Pelosi's son, Paul Pelosi Jr., who's in the oil and gas business, and the company that he works for does business with Ukraine. Now, I don't know what to tell you about all this, but I never knew that Ukraine was the crossroads of the world. It's like the Times Square of the Democrat Party. You know, they used to say of Times Square, you stand in Times Square for long enough and you'll run into everybody you ever met. I think they used to say that. New York arrogance, you know. But apparently the real crossroads of the world, if you're a Democrat, is Kiev, which some of them like to pronounce Kiev for some reason. And a news organization last week spelled it K-Y-I-V, Kiev. And I'm like, you people really need to have a brain scans, I think, because this is crazy. But I was marveling at all of this this morning, and I started cobbling a few pieces together. And I was reading, one of the things I was reading is a fake fact check by these people at PolitiFact, which is just a Democrat Party front group. It is 100%. And I was reading through this, and this fake fact check, where they say, oh, sure, Hunter Biden had a role on the board of the Burisma Ukrainian oil and gas company, even though he had no background in there. But that's okay, they say, the place. And then I read a little further, and it says, the company, Burisma Oil, that Biden was working for, also retained the law firm where Hunter Biden had been working, Boies, Schiller, and Flexner. What? Are you kidding me? He was working at Boies, Schiller and Flexner, and it turns out he does some work for them. And then Ukraine hired this firm, Boies, Schiller, and the oil company in Ukraine. It did, the one that hired Joe Biden, Burisma. They then hired this law firm, which is headed by and founded by David Boies. Who's David Boies? Well, David Boies is a longtime Democrat Party political operative who represented Al Gore, for example, in 2000 in the Bush v. Gore before the Supreme Court. And it's quite fascinating that all these Democrats have one foot in Ukraine. Now, how can that be? Ukraine seems to me to be a fairly remote, fairly obscure country. But I guess I was wrong. If you're a Democrat, you're nobody if you don't have a one foot in Ukraine. This is quite fascinating. And so I started scratching that surface, which is more than the New York Times will do or CNN will ever, ever do because of the level of corruption there. It's just amazing. So he's also a Paul Pelosi Jr., an oil and gas man with links to Ukraine oil and gas. And I got it. You know, Ukraine, This is bad news for Ukraine because these are bloodsuckers, man. These are leeches who show up to suck the lifeblood out of you and get rich at the same time. But I'm and wait a minute. Wasn't this a really corrupt country? And isn't that why Joe Biden was sent there? But all these Democrats are cashing in. It's just like ka-ching, ka-ching. It's a cash register. I'm going like this with my arm, like I'm playing a slot machine. It's a ka-ching. It's a slot machine for the Democrat Party, a cash register. It's a piggy bank for the Democrat Party and for their kids. And then isn't it just hilarious that it's all oil and gas while they're yelling at us about global warming and about driving Priuses and about which are filled with toxins, by the way, and their batteries. And they use electricity, which has to be generated somewhere. But never mind that. So they're all in there. And and it's, you know, so my friend Marty said this morning, now we know why they all oppose American energy independence. Because they're fighting for Ukrainian energy independence. It's truth, justice, and the Ukrainian way. You know, Ukraine had already investigated Hunter Biden's role in Ukraine, and Ukraine found it to be okay. Because that's when the country was really corrupt, which is why Joe Biden was there fighting corruption. Maybe he cured corruption in Ukraine, and everything's okay now. And you know, Joe Biden had that, Joe Biden's son, Hunter Biden, had that job, which Peter Schweitzer said, says paid $85,000 a month and not $50,000 a month, had it until May of this year. Until May of this year. And he got the job in 2014. $50,000 a month or $85,000 a month for Hunter Biden, the crackhead, because he is a whiz when it comes to oil and gas. You know, he's got a 57 Chevy and a Wolf Range. And that's his experience in the oil and gas industry. And his father, who is known far and wide in Ukraine as Quid Pro Joe. That's what they call him in Ukraine. It's funnier in Ukraine because it's a rhyming thing. Quid pro, hey, wait, it is here too. Quid Pro Joe. Quid Pro Joe. Isn't that great? Isn't it wonderful? It's the Democratic Party Full Employment for the Kids Act of 2009, I think they passed under Barack Obama. And then everybody just did a bum's rush toward Kiev in Ukraine, and everybody cashed in because it was really corrupt. Remember, they told us it was terribly corrupt, and that's why Joe was there fighting corruption like the cake crusader that he is. And since he was fighting corruption, he went ahead and got a high-paying job for his son while he was there. And that's good with the New York Times because he's a Democrat, and that's okay. Yes, the Democratic Party Full Employment Act for the Kids Act of 2009. And everybody gets a job in Ukraine in the oil and gas industry, and they all make huge amounts of money. No wonder they don't want anybody looking into Ukraine. No wonder they're committing suicide over here and laying down in front of the train. Turns out maybe the whole damn party. We should see what kind of ties the Clintons have to Ukraine, how much money they've built out of Ukraine, because, look, if they're all in there cashing in, the Clintons aren't going to be left out. I know that the Clintons, I mean, just based on the pattern I see emerging here, I'm going to take a wild guess, and I'm going to say that the Clintons cashed in, too, in Ukraine. I'm just guessing. I don't know. I'm thinking that Ukraine is being used by the Democrat Party and major players, major actors in the Democrat Party. There's a lot more, and I'm going to get into some of that. We have audio and everything. But there's a lot of other stuff going on. And you know what I'm talking about here? The New York Times has no interest in any of this. You know the leaker that they're calling a whistleblower, the saboteur at the CIA? It turns out you'll be surprised to learn, you know, the IG, the ICIG, listen to this wanker stuff that the government makes us and the media. It's the Intelligence Community Inspector General. And he, the other day, said that the so-called whistleblower, who's really a Democrat Party saboteur, you know, his lawyers are Democrat Party operatives, and he was married up with his lawyers by Adam Schiff's office, and it's all a job. They're doing a job, and it's a hit job. And it's amazing. Turns we now learn he's a registered Democrat. The so-called whistleblower is a registered Democrat with Democrat Party operatives as his lawyers after coordinating with Adam Schiff's office before taking the first step anywhere. It's a total hit job. It's a complete hit job, registered Democrat. And AOC, I've got a great AOC story today. Just wonderful, wonderful AOC story. She had a town hall meeting. And you know that Swedish professor a few weeks ago was talking about fighting global warming by eating human flesh rather than cows, and that was going to be the solution? Well, AOC had a visitor that took it up a notch. Only one notch, really. From Ralph Northam and Baby Doc Cuomo with their third trimester homicide stuff. Kathy Tran in Virginia, the flesh-eating Swedish scientist. Ralph Northam, of course, the pediatrician, you know, the Klansman with the medical degree. Well, they've all been one-upped. One-upped, for sure. That's coming up.
There's only one Chris Plant. The Chris Plant Show.
What would you do with an extra $500 a month in your budget? $500. This isn't hypothetical, by the way. It's something you may need to think about very soon if you decide to become a member of MediShare. MediShare is a way to pay for your health care, and typically it costs $500 less per month for a family versus other health care plans. So seriously think about this. You could pay off loans, pay down a mortgage, save the money for retirement, donate it to charity. That would be a big deal. But you know what? Here's the best thing. MediShare works. It's a Christian healthcare sharing ministry with 400,000 members. They've shared more than $2 billion in medical bills, so they can help share in your needs, too. With MediShare, not only do you save, but you don't have to pay for things you don't believe in, either. And that's a beautiful thing, too. So here's how you can find out more, and you might actually end up saving more than $500 a month. Call 855-40-BIBLE. That's 855-40-BIBLE. 855-40.
Plants capture CO2. What if we could help industrial plants capture it too? Think how we could help lower emissions. More and more scientists think carbon capture is key to reducing CO2 emissions globally. It's one way ExxonMobil is helping industrial plants be more like plants. That's the unexpected energy of ExxonMobil.
Don't miss Kohl's Friends and Family Sale. Take an extra 20% off. Save on men's and women's Sonoma Goods for Life denim, Nine West shoes and boots, and the Big One Throw is just $14.39. Plus, take an extra $20 off your $100 purchase. Plus, get Kohl's cash right now at Kohl's. Select styles. Offers valid October 2nd through 6th. 20% Friends and Family with promo code SHOPFAMILY. $20 off $100 with promo code BONUS20. Some exclusions apply. See store or Kohl's.com for details.
Hi, I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans, America's largest mortgage lender. Let's talk credit card debt for a minute. If you feel you're carrying too much of it, you're not alone. The average household in the U.S. carries over $8,000 in credit card debt. Ready for some good news? With a cash-out refinance from Quicken Loans, you can quickly and easily put some of the equity in your home to good use by paying off a lot of that high-interest credit card debt. A great way to take cash out is with our 30-year fixed-rate mortgage. The rate today on our 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 3.99%, APR 4.08%. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN to learn how taking cash out with a 30-year fixed mortgage might be the right solution for you. And for a record 9 years in a row, J.D. Power has ranked Quicken Loans highest in the nation in customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
For J.D. Power award information, visit jdpower.com. Rates subject to change. Pay 1.25% fee to receive this discounted rate. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearm specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts with two full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard-to-find fine ammo, 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years' experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
Hi, this is Chuck Kinney of Shasta Gas Propane. Our company motto is, our customers are warm friends. We are demonstrating our commitment to this motto by helping those in our area that lost their homes in the car fire and are moving onto their property in an RV during the rebuilding process. We can hook up a 120-gallon propane tank to your RV gas system and deliver gas to your property so you won't have to disconnect your 7-gallon cylinder and take it somewhere to get it filled, then reconnect it and relight your pilots. We will deliver and connect the tank at no charge, then discount the price of the propane. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793. We want to help you during this stressful time.
Story about a man named Jim.
Joe!
A rural mountaineer barely kept his family fed. And then one day he was shooting at some Jews.
And up from the ground came a bubbling crude. Ukraine, he said, there's gold in them thar hills.
Texas.
Yeehaw! Let's all get on a government plane and go to Ukraine. I'm a oil and gas man. All right, so we got, what do we have? We have Hunter Biden. He's a big oil and gas man in Ukraine, of course, not in Texas. Texas is too convenient. He had to go to Ukraine to become a big oil and gas man. And his dad didn't help. We don't even know if he's ever been to Ukraine, if Hunter Biden has ever been to Ukraine. I saw an article yesterday kind of assuming that he had been to Ukraine, but I don't know about that. We do now know, at least based on the reporting of Patrick Howley, Patrick Howley at National File. This is the guy who broke the story about Ralph Northam and blackface and stuff. And I can't really vouch for him personally. I don't know him. But he's got a story here. Nancy Pelosi's son, Paul Pelosi Jr., who went to Ukraine in 2017, board member of, they're all board members. Isn't it great? Your father's a powerful, or your mother, powerful Democrat. And suddenly you're a board member of major oil and gas companies all over the world in Ukraine and stuff. I'm an old man. Let's go to, well, just a little, I'm squeezing myself a little tight, aren't I? I shouldn't, because I want to give people time to talk and make their point and not rush them. But, and so John Kerry's stepson, Heinz, his name is Heinz, like the ketchup fortune. And he apparently was involved in the same Ukrainian oil company that Hunter Biden was involved with. But he ducked out early because he thought it smelled bad. And he's already got a $1 billion fortune, so he doesn't have to worry about that stuff because he's real rich. He's a ketchup man. I'm a ketchup and mustard man. So we've got John Kerry's son, Hunter Biden, Joe Biden's son, and Nancy Pelosi's son, all in oil in Ukraine.
This is the Chris Plant Show.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, We've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
KCNR is proud to announce that we are now live at 96.5 FM, as well as online, and as always, heard on 1460 AM. Weekday mornings, wake up with the Sue McClain News Hour, followed by Free Fire Radio, your talk radio station at the epicenter of change in downtown Reading. 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, the conscience of the nation. Noon to 3, find your financial peace with Dave Ramsey. 3 to 6, the hard-hitting constitutional expert, Mark Levin. Monday through Thursdays at 6 p.m., local shows feature everything from the paranormal to pop culture to unsung heroes of our area. 7 to 9, Ben Shapiro with an expanded program that brings the issues of the day to your radio. And finish your weekday with the Chris Plant Show, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. KCNR, now on 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, and always online. More than ever, we're your locally owned, community-connected talk radio.
Hi, this is Linda Bott, and let me tell you about our North State Now show on Thursday nights at 6 p.m. right here on KCNR. The first Thursday of the month will be yours truly, covering arts and entertainment and all kinds of fun stuff. The second Thursday will be Michelle Slade, highlighting and interviewing North State heroes. The third Thursday is James Masada and Rhonda Alvey, bringing you all things with Enjoy the Magazine and Enjoy the Store. And the fourth Thursday from Shasta Regional Medical Center is Dr. Orna Gill, covering all things women's health. The title sponsor for North State Now is the Reading Civic Auditorium, also brought to you by the Black Bear Diner, Shasta Regional Medical Center, and Carlene's Restaurant and Bar, located at 1100 Center Street. That's North State Now, right here on KCNR, 96.5 FM, and 1460 AM. 6 p.m., North State Now.
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearm specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts with two full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard to find ammo, 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years' experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
This is a delicate thing to say to a group of leaders in their House of Parliament.
Ukrainians!
You have to fight the cancer of corruption that is endemic in your system right now.
Said the cancer to the system. And by the way, could you get a high-paying job for my son where he wouldn't have to do much because he's a hoe-chasing crackhead? He's a lawyer. He went to Yale Law School. Because his, you know, dad was Senator Biden and everything. It's good to be, so I know Senator's son. Well, he is a Senator's son. And the other Senator's son, stepson, Kerry, he, too, not only is the ketchup and mustard man, he's also an oil and gas man, also in Ukraine. And then it turns out that Nancy Pelosi's son is also an oil and gas man. And he's also winging off to Ukraine, and his company's doing business in Ukraine. It's amazing. Ukraine is the Istanbul of the 21st century, I guess. It's the crossroads of the world. It's where you're going to find Monsieur Ugate and Casper Gutman, I think. And they have the Maltese Falcon. I'm just marveling at all the connections here. But wait, because I'm not done yet. It turns out I asked, ask and ye shall receive. I asked, well, certainly the Clintons are going to get a piece of this cash, right? And my friend Seton Motley sent along from Progressive Radio Network. That's obviously a left-wing group. They're the Progressive Radio Network. And they're laying out the foreign donors to the Clinton Foundation and the Clinton Global Initiative. And you'll never guess, number one, Ukraine. Ukraine is the number one, and there's an oligarch there. That means he's a really rich Ukrainian, and we say oligarch instead of billionaire. I'm not sure why. Viktor Punchuk Foundation, and Punchuk made a five-year, $29 million commitment to the Clinton Global Initiative. Hang on, because between 2009 and 2013, while Hillary Clinton was Secretary of State, this Ukrainian magnate gave almost $9 million to the Clinton Foundation, which, of course, they use as their slush fund and their travel money and private jets and, you know, CO2 be damned, carbon footprint be damned. So here we go. We got Pelosi with her son has got a finger in the pie in Ukraine. Biden's son has got both feet in the pie in Ukraine. You got John Kerry's son, who's got at least a couple of fingers in the pie in Ukraine. You got the Clinton Global Initiative collecting tens of millions from Ukraine. When the hell did Ukraine become Paris? When did Kiev become Paris? When did Ukraine become France? This is quite remarkable. All right, let's go to the telephones. What do you say? I love this stuff. And wait till you hear AOC. This is the best. It's the story of the year, I think. It may be. All right, at least of the day. Let's go to John calling from Germantown, Maryland. John, you're on the Chris Plant Show.
Yes, hi, Chris. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
Yeah, I think the common denominator in all this is probably Bill and Hillary Clinton and their foundation. And she was in the State Department at that particular time. I'm sure that the State Department had their hands in every single deal you're talking about. I'm not positive, but, you know, if I was a thinking man, which I hope to pray I am, a duck is a duck is a duck.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't take Columbo to take a few pieces here and raise an eyebrow. This ought to at least raise an eyebrow with anybody. And in fact, it goes well beyond that. Hunter Biden's crooked deals, courtesy of dad, are dirty, filthy, stinky. Everybody smells a rat. And if you say you don't smell a rat, then you're lying. All right. That's just kind of it, isn't it? When Joe Biden starts yelling and wagging his finger in the face of young Peter Ducey and, you know, you ought to be investigating Trump. You know, first of all, you wag your finger at me again. You better call security. All right. And secondly, you're a crook. All right. And he ought to be called a crook. And so just so we can get him to say, I am not a crook, because I just want to have video of him saying I'm not a crook, and then play that until the, you've worn the voice off the tape. But right, we got to get him to say I'm not a crook just for fun. Some reporter out there.
I mean, if you think about it, like Joe Biden was going to run for president. Why didn't he run? Well, maybe Hillary Clinton had set him up to where she could say, hey, you're being corrupt. Or Pelosi's son, you know, maybe he was she was set up so, she would be beholden to her to protect her and her family and her foundation. You know,
Well,
I don't know. I'm just
Yeah, well, no, how can we know? Well, look, the New York Times says all of this has already been investigated, and at least to their satisfaction, which is no investigation at all.
If it was Hillary, she would say, oh, this is old news.
They always say it's old news. It's a standard tactic, and their friends in the news media say, yeah, I knew something about that long ago, and then they go to Starbucks.
I'm glad that there's somebody like yourself and others that are trying to put this on where it should be, on the front page of every newspaper in America, but obviously it's not.
Yeah, but obviously it's not, because there's a lot of slime, Democrat Party slime, all over the front pages. The Washington Post today, my best girl picked up the Washington Post at our front door today, and before, I mean, opened the door, and she laughed out loud, seeing the front page of the Washington Post and the headlines, which are just a joke. I mean, it's just not journalism. And where's the front page story about Joe Biden's sweetheart deals for his crackhead whore-chasing son, who got kicked out of the Navy for being a crackhead? I don't mean to be rude to Hunter Biden, but with this protective cocoon around him, I'm sorry, we're going to have to open up with lasers and phasers and tasers and various things like that, because the protective cocoon that the news media provides for all Democrats under all circumstances is absolutely appalling and shameless. And again, here he is. He's working for a law firm, this Boies Schiller Flexner, and the oil company in Ukraine hires that law firm. And Boies is a longtime Democrat political operative who represents the Democrats in Bush v. Gore and other Democrat Party efforts. And it looks like every Democrat in Washington and many across the country are getting a piece of that Ukrainian pie. They're carving up Ukraine. It's pretty amazing. And that's just fine with the New York Times, because we live in a very corrupt culture. I'm sorry to have to say. Now, you're not corrupt. I'm not corrupt. And I think most people are not corrupt, but the people that run the pop culture and the media, the news media, is just part of the pop culture now. It's just television and advertisements with fake news stories attached. We live in very corrupt times. And the party...
These people give corrupt people a bad name.
They really do.
They go as far as giving corrupt people a bad name.
That's exactly
right. At
least
corrupt people might not sell the country.
Quid pro Joe.
These people would.
They should put up a billboard in Kiev with a picture of Joe Biden that says quid pro Joe, both in Ukrainian and in English, in American. Great stuff. These guys. John, thank you, my friend.
Thank you.
Thanks for being a regular American and a thinking person. Isn't it great that there are still regular Americans and thinking people out there? And John is one of them, and there are many more, I know, because I have many friends, and we hear from many people. Absolutely extraordinary stuff. Yes, we learned that the leaker, that's right, it's not a whistleblower, it's a fraud, it's a scam, it's a sham, it's a put-on. Registered Democrat and all that good stuff. Now, well, I have this wonderful audio from AOC and this AOC event. That's, when I say wonderful, I guess I use the term advisedly or somewhat tongue in cheek, because what they're talking about is quite extraordinary. We've got Robert De Niro news and Alec Baldwin too. We got the Alec Baldwin bring back Alec Baldwin, because Robert De Niro has proved that he's as psychotic as any other Hollywood loon. Quite amazing. And very funny Kamala Harris news. She asked her audience if America's ready for her, and her audience yelled no. Because, like, you fill the room with dummies. You ask a question, you're going to get a dummy answer. Amazing stuff. Now, maybe I should take another call before I get on to AOC. I do love the AOC stuff. But I'm going to have to make a list and a flow chart. I'm going to have to get a white dry erase board and some markers to put together the sort of the FBI organized crime structure of the Democrats in Ukraine with all of the arrows. So the Clintons collect tens of millions of dollars from Ukraine. It's their number one when it comes to foreign countries contributing to the Clintons. Ukraine is number one? How's that? How can that be? How can Ukraine be number one? That's insane. That's irrational. That's almost impossible to believe. And a Ukrainian oligarch funneling this money to Hillary Clinton while she's Secretary of State. And at the same time, to the foundation, they're doing good charitable work. Yeah, they're flying their fat asses around the world on private airliners and traveling by motorcade like Eddie Murphy's father in Coming to America, with drums playing and rose petals being spread on the roadways in front of them, going to five-star hotels where they take over floors. And that's what the Clinton Foundation's paying for, so they can have dinner with Nelson Mandela's best friend or something, and then pretend that they've done something good for the world when they haven't. They're getting fat, and he's getting laid, so it's not a total waste, I guess. And number one for the Clinton Foundation, Ukraine, okay? Joe Biden's son, how many millions of dollars? Ukraine, oil and gas industry. Is he an oil and gas man? No. John Kerry's stepson. Is he an oil and gas man? No. What's he doing with this Ukrainian? What's with that, huh? And now we've got Nancy Pelosi's son. He is an oil and gas man, and it looks like he's a legitimate oil and gas man in the oil and gas business. You know, NRG, letters N, letters NRG, and big oil and gas Texas. But where is he? He's winging off to Ukraine. What is up with Ukraine? Man, is it the French Riviera and we just didn't know about it? Do they have the hottest women in the world or something? What is the... Remember when the Soviet Union fell and, we thought they were all Madame Khrushchev and then all these models started climbing over the wall? That was kind of weird. So maybe Ukraine. And then, of course, the law firm of Boies, Schiller, and Flexner. Ukraine. Wow. The Democrats... Maybe that's like a life raft for them, and when they ruin America, they're all going to move to Ukraine. Or when they get chased out of America, they want to have this life raft. It's like the Isle of Elba to them. They're going to go into exile in Ukraine. All right, let's go to Bill calling from McLean, Virginia. William, you're on the Chris Plant Show.
Hello, Chris.
Hey, Bill.
Hey, I just wanted to comment on what you're talking about with the Bidens and the corruption. It's almost like the movie The Matrix, where if you take the blue pill the Democrats want you to swallow, you live in a land of illusion. But if you take the red pill, you wake up and see the reality.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone who hasn't read Peter Schweitzer's book, Secret Empires, really should do it,
mm-hmm.
because it goes into detail about Hunter Biden and Chris Hines and their activities in China. And when the Democrats speak about national security risks posed by Trump's phone call, it's really the blue pill. People ought to wake up and see that the real national security threat is Joe Biden to the country.
Well, and I got to tell you, the real national security threat is the New York Times and their minions at CNN and elsewhere, who refuse, absolutely to refuse, and you're right, it's total blue pill land, absolutely refuse to report on this gigantic, and there are multiple gigantic news stories in here. And they've got people in this, Judge Napolitano, I dismissed him a long time ago, but, yesterday out there saying it's outrageous that the President Trump can't ask for help from a foreigner or a foreign entity while completely ignoring that everything we've gone through for the last 2.5-3 years is based on Hillary Clinton working with foreigners to sabotage a political opponent. And this is, I hear these things come out of their mouths, and I'm just slack-jawed that they don't instantly realize the absurdity and the hypocrisy of what they're saying, when we know that the dossier was gathered up by a British alleged intelligence agent whose sources were all Putin's Russian intelligence agents, that the thing is full of lies from Putin's intelligence operatives by way of a conduit, a British intelligence operative, which was then infused into the bloodstream of American politics and poisoned the bloodstream. And we've been dealing with that for how long now in the news media? Again, it's like these are not the droids you're looking for or waving the pen in front of your face in, that one, Yeah, Men in Black. Thank you. It's about time, for God's sake. Step up over there. And Men in Black, and they erase your memory. And the people in these newsrooms have no memory of what happened yesterday. They're all suffering from Newsheimer's. And honestly, it's like, really, you don't remember that the last 2 years, everything we've been talking about is based on Hillary Clinton going to foreigners for dirt on her political opponents? And honestly, it's Blue Pill, it's Men in Black, it's These Are Not the Droids You're Looking For, it's Newsheimer's. And I feel sometimes like I'm the only one with a functioning memory in Washington, D.C. It's appalling.
Yeah, it sure is. And, you know, as Adam Schiff might say, what is the nature of the compromise? Well, does anyone think that Hunter Biden getting $1 billion in assets from Chinese government officials, that guy with a drug problem and a woman problem, they might not have things that could compromise him and influence Joe Biden if he ever became president? It's really laughable.
Yeah. Now, you're a retired Army officer, is that correct?
I'm not retired, but I was an Army officer, held a security clearance, and anyone who gets a security clearance, top secret, understands not to engage in activities that could get you blackmailed.
Yeah. And I wouldn't say, thank you, William, I wouldn't say that Hunter Biden has a woman problem necessarily. Yes, he was dating his brother's widow, and yes, he was waking up in whorehouses in Los Angeles with crack pipes next to him, and you know, no problem. He just makes a phone call. He's got his dad's credit card, and he doesn't see it as a problem. Maybe that's what I'm saying.
Hey, what did your job pay?
Nothing.
Don't
bless you, crooked.
Woohoo!
You're listening to the Chris Plant Show.
Was such a sweet, lovable animal, and people would want to pet him, and they'd come up and they'd get close to him, and it would be this instant, oh! My dad didn't want to touch him. It's like, ooh, get the stinky dog away from me.
Even after we'd give her a bath, she would still stink.
Very stinky, both bad breath and bad gas.
I asked the vet, and he said, some dogs are just stinky.
Does your dog itch, scratch, stink, or shed like crazy? Come to Dynavite for help.
DINOVITE.com.
The omega-3 fatty acids.
Flaxseed, zinc, alfalfa.
The digestive enzymes that are cooked out of regular dog food.
The ingredients convinced me that it was definitely worth trying. After about a week, he started smelling normal. My husband and I were really kind of astonished.
Dynavite is nutrition.
859-428-1000.
DINOVITE.com.
I'm pretty sure our new house might be haunted.
What makes you say that?
The furniture is levitating. Oh, and the ghost.
Welcome home.
Yeah, that's spooky.
You know what's really scary? Missing out on GEICO for help with homeowners and renters insurance. GEICO makes it easy to save a bunch.
Great! You're not sticking around, right?
The party's just getting started.
Happy GEICO Week. Call today and see how easy homeowners and renters insurance can be.
I'm pretty handy around the house, but now that I have kids, I don't want to spend my Saturday installing a toilet or fixing an air conditioner. But thankfully, there's HomeAdvisor. HomeAdvisor helps me find the best home pros in my area to handle any kind of project. You can read reviews of the pros, check their availability, and even book appointments online. And what my wife loves most is that HomeAdvisor is completely free to use.
Go to HomeAdvisor.com or download the free app to get started.
HomeAdvisor.
Hi, this is Chuck Kinney of Shasta Gas Propane. Our company motto is, our customers are warm friends. We are demonstrating our commitment to this motto by helping those in our area that lost their homes in the car fire and are moving onto their property in an RV during the rebuilding process. We can hook up a 120-gallon propane tank to your RV gas system and deliver gas to your property so you won't have to disconnect your 7-gallon cylinder and take it somewhere to get it filled. Then reconnect it and relight your pilots. We will deliver and connect the tank at no charge, then discount the price of the propane. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793. We want to help you during this stressful time.
Alan Gordon, Coach Master Collision. She had minor damage to her rear bumper. I wrote her an estimate. Later, I received a call. The lady responsible for the damage wanted to pay for the repairs out of pocket. Her insurance agent told her a claim would raise her rates for years. With our experience in the claim process, I explained to her most insurance companies would forgive a claim if the cost was below a minimum amount. I suggested she contact her insurance agent and have them review her policy. She called back very excited. It appeared her policy did extend forgiveness. They would pay for the repairs, and she wouldn't be charged with a claim or have to pay a deductible. The accident would not cost her a thing. She was very pleased. Good thing the vehicle owner came to the right place for repairs. We all pay a lot for insurance. Choosing Coachmaster will ensure you get the most for your money. Let this experience work for you. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
A little follow-up on a yesterday story out of Gay Paris. Paris, France. There was a man attacked a police station, and we were still waiting for details yesterday. Four people were murdered. The person entered the police station with a big knife. He was a civilian employee of the police department, apparently, and he attacked a woman, and first person he attacked and murdered her. And then, a total of four people were murdered, including three police officers at this Paris police station, and the attacker was then gunned down. It was basically a suicide attack, and he was killed by the police. And now this is what always happens. The Paris police said they're not treating the incident as a terrorist attack. And according to local news reports, they talked to the neighbors. They said that there were no signs. Now, hang on, wait. See, he had converted to Islam 18 months ago. So he's from Martinique in the Caribbean. But he converted to Islam just 18 months ago. And then yesterday he murdered four people with a big knife in a suicide attack. And they say, but they're not treating it as a terrorist incident. And the neighbors say there were no signs that he was radicalized. Aside from the fact that he murdered all those people yesterday in a suicide attack. But before that, there was not. I mean, he didn't, you know, they're like over dinner and stuff. He didn't seem radicalized. And then his wife said that he had been suffering a psychotic episode the night before. I guess it continued into yesterday. But they're not treating it as a terrorist. He converted to Islam 18 months ago. He murdered a bunch of people yesterday. But they're not treating it as a terrorist attack because there were no signs that he was radicalized. We are leaving the age of reason, okay? I was talking about this yesterday. The Enlightenment, the 18th century, the Western Awakening. We are sort of cutting bait on that, I think, and moving on. We've moved into an era where you don't really have to make sense at all. And in fact, the less sense you make, the more likely you are to lead a country. There are no signs that he had been radicalized, other than the deadly suicide attack yesterday.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.